जय शिशुपाल परमहंस परिवार जगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवार जगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत गौड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री श्रीवासादि श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धाम की वृंदावन धाम की आयपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की लिंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरी श्री असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री शशि गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमो शुभदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे
श्रीमन गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः
വർണ്ണീമന്ദ്രജ സ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമീശാസം ഗോപീശരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ ലീലാപരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം പാതാളേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോ വേണു കുമാര ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധിയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ After death. Krishna mentions in that verse that Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa jaganye gunavrittistha atho gacchanti tamasa. We have seen there that the that as long as the mind operates, there will always be contact with the three modes of nature. The mind, as long as the mind is operating, that is a symptom of the operation of the modes of nature within us, that the mind has a contact with the modes of nature. And as long as we have contact with the modes of nature, that whatever you do, whether it is bhakti or karmam or yogam or jnanam, whatever it may be, it will always be coming and going. That will be the nature. You see that problem? That in the three modes of material nature, whatever you execute spiritual activity, whatever spiritual activity you execute, whether it is karmam, jnanam, bhakti, yogam, whatever it may be, because of the changing nature of this modes of material nature, none of them will stay. It will come and go, come and go. It's never permanent. That is why, first thing Krishna is saying here, the necessity to go beyond the modes of nature. Because only when you transcend the modes of nature that you can be situated in the platform of the soul. In the platform of the soul. And that force will only happen when you are freed from the modes of nature. And first of all, we give up as much as possible our material desires. Then, with the idea that we want to realize the truth, realize the self, with that desire, giving up all our material desires, we come to the spiritual field, we come to the spiritual life, isn't it? And that is the first force that brings us into it. Then, in spiritual life also, in that spiritual field also, if perfection has to happen, that desire also has to go from inside. Which one? That realizing the truth. Even that desire has to go from inside. We saw yesterday that sattve anyatamo hanyat sattvam sattvena chaivahi. That is when you cross over from sattvagunam to nirgunam. Sattugunam to nirgunam. Nirgunam means no influence of the modes of nature. Does not mean there is no gunam. What means is that there is no influence of the modes of nature. That's that state. Sattvam anyadamo hanyan sattvam sattvena chaivahi. In the sattugunam, initially we will have the desire for self-realization or going back home, back to Godhead. All those desires will be there. But when the santugunam becomes intense, you will see, realize it that even that desire disappearing from within. In that state, you have come to the state of beyond the three modes of nature. Krishna is saying, in that state, when you are in that trans state, beyond the three modes of material nature, then you, whatever you do will be permanent. It will remain permanent. That means, even if you realize that, if you have realized the truth, that truth will remain permanent inside. You won't lose it again. This is the difference between the something happening in the three modes of nature and outside the three modes of nature. So, this concept that anything in this world you can only get it by desiring, isn't it? Only through desire you can have it. Without desire it won't happen. And as far as Krishna is concerned, if you have desires, you won't get Krishna. It's the other way. Everything else in this world, when you have desires, you get it. But with Krishna, if you have desires inside, you won't have Krishna. You won't have Krishna. So, this is a, between the two, it's a paradox, they say. That position, money, all these things in this world, without desiring, you won't get it, isn't it? So, and if you do desire things for material success in life, that sometimes, most of the times it can happen, and that is a rule of the material world, rule of the material world. And Vedam says, in a different way, Vedam says that anything if you desire, it is possible to have it. It may not happen now, but it will happen. It depends on the power of that imagination or sankalpam inside. Doesn't matter what it is. Vedam says like this, if you desire even to want to become an elephant, if it doesn't become in this life, you will get a body, elephant's body next life. Only thing is, you have to have that very strong desire inside. So, because even impossible desires can be materialized with the power of the mind. Mind has got that strength. Mind is capable of doing that. Because the sankalpa balam, or the power of the sankalpam, is the power of the mind, isn't it? Power of the mind. And according to its sankalpam, according to its imagination, it will create the object. It will create the object. That power the mind has. So it doesn't matter, whatever may be your desire, whatever desire we have, that kraduhu yat sankalpaha tad abhisambhadyade. It means, here, in this world, according to your sankalpam, you will do your karma. Your karma will be based on the sankalpam. That you can see. That the karma what we do is based on our sankalpam. And according to that karma, the vasanas will be created inside. And according to those vasana, you will take birth or you will die. Death or birth. Birth or death is depending on that vasana. In fact, we live in this world because of desires. That's why we are able to live in this world. And it is only because of desires we are wandering around in this world. That's also because of desires. If there is no desires, you may feel that what kind of life is this? So dry. There's nothing in this world. You may think like that. What is the use of this life? People will think in that way. So, because if you get sick, if there is no desire to come out of the sickness, then it will not happen. Because when there is desire inside to come out of that sickness, that's why one day you get come out of that sickness. Isn't it? So there are some situations like that. In one country, in one village, there were everyone had had headache. Everyone had headache. By birth itself, they all had headache, everyone. So a person came to that village who didn't have headache. So they told him that you have to be treated because you don't have a headache. So they sent him to the doctor. And they said, he said to the doctor, can you give me some medicine? Sir, I have some headache, he said. So if you don't have a headache, you should have a headache because everybody else has got a headache. So, so similarly, if everyone is sick, we should also get sick, isn't it? So we do not even know that this thing called desire in us is actually a disease. It's actually a disease. because it's a movement of the mind. It's a movement of the mind. And movement of the mind means to become something. To become something. Today I'm not having it, tomorrow I'll have it. Today I'm not that, tomorrow I want to become that. This situation. So that is what it is, desire. That is why if you look into Bhartrahari's Vairagya Shalakam, 100 verses he wrote in Vairagyam, he mentions there one verse, Asha Nama Nadi, Manorata Jala, Trishna Tarangagula, Raga Grahavati, Vidarka Vihaga, Dhairya Dhrumadhumsini, Mohavata Sudustaram, Sudustaradi Gahanam, Protungana Chintadi, Tasya Paragada, Vishuddha Manaso, Nandandi Yogishwara. This is a famous verse from the Vairagya Shatakam, where the Bhartrahari says like this, that there is a river, Asha Namam. The name of the river is Asha, desires. It's flowing inside. That desire, river is flowing. Name of the river is desire. And what is the water in that river? It's not our hydrogen and oxygen, H2O. It's not flowing there. And there, Manoratham. Manoratham means mental chariot. Mental chariot, that water, that is flowing. The mental chariot is flowing in that river. And there's full of waves in that river. Trishna Tarangagula. Trishna Tarangagula means these waves of desires are coming. Want this, want that, want that, want that. Like this. Continuously desires coming. And not satisfied with anything what one has got. So that anxiety all the time, that is what is going on. And that is Tarangagula, that creates the waves inside. And then Raga Grahavati Vitarka Vihaga Dairyadhyama Dhumsini. He says here, there is so many crocodiles in that river. And if you get into that river, these crocodiles will get you. What is the nature of the crocodile? Crocodiles will come in the form of attachment. They are these crocodiles. They'll come in the form of attachment, possessiveness. And they'll come and they're lying here and there. Ragagrahavati. That as long as Ragagrahavati, as long as these desires are inside, and in the even if you have listened to Adhyalpam, spiritual topics and Vedantam, all these things, even if you hear them, it is not easy to be situated in the platform of the soul as long as there is desires inside. Because some other unlogical things will come from the mind. So even if you hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, when you go, you will see that from inside, that person will wake up from mind. He'll wake up from inside. And for many, many lifetimes, who misled us all through our many lifetimes, he will wake up and he will tell you, none of this is correct. Even if it is Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, he will tell you it's not correct. You may see anything. You may say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is great and Bhagavad Gita is fantastic knowledge, self-realization. Krishna talks everything very precisely about the self. In spite of all that, he will wake up inside and tell you, well, this is not correct, this is not possible, it's impossible, not practical, things like that. He will create from inside. So that is what he is saying here, that in this river, when there is, he mentions here, Mohavarta Sudustarangana Sudustaradi Gahanam Protungana Chintati. What it does is that as long as this river is flowing inside, you will never have the courage. You will never get the courage. Because you can see, those who have got desires, they were always fearful, frightened. They are always frightened. So Mohavartasudha Tarandigahanam Protungana Chindadi Tasya Paragada Vishuddha Manaso Nandandi Yogishwara. He says
that the that this river, this river, when it is flowing powerfully inside, which one? This desire, that river is flowing, that it will pull down any tree which is on the river bank. It will pull it down because of the power of the force of that desires. Similarly, when this desire is flowing inside, Krishna is, Vartraya is saying here that our courage in life to do something, that courage, that's like a bit like a tree, that courage will be pulled down by this river of desires, river of desires. And in many places he says here that there are certain what do they call it, in the rivers you have this whirlpools, yes, whirlpools. So the whirlpools are there, and these whirlpools are pulling you inside. That's what he says here. Mohavarta sudustaradi gahanam. Mohavarta, therefore it is difficult to cross over, because ajnanam, avidya, is that whirlpools, that whirlpools. So and this river has been many places, it's very, very deep. Adigahanam, very, very deep. Adigahanam. Then, protungana chindadi, that if you want to climb over and to get onto the top of the, to the bank, river bank, there also it's very difficult because it's quite high. The river banks are quite high. And therefore, unless one has very high level of knowledge, it is difficult to come over. So, who gets there? That's what he says here. Tasya, who climbs over? Tasya parigada visuddha manaso nandandi yogishwaraha. Great, great yogis, he says, that they are the people who are capable, that they climb over their river bank and go on to the top of the river, and they feel happy there. So, agraham or desire is such that person who has got desires, that he binds himself without a rope. He binds himself without a rope. And one who has no desires, he says, vigadaspraha, vidaspraha, vishaya boga viraktaha, virakta sangaha. In the Bhashyam also you will see this. That vigadaspraha, vishaya boga viraktaha. Only such a person who has come from the attachment and from desires, he is able to go. Vigadaspraha vishaya boga, vidaspraha vishaya boga viraktaha, virakta sangaha. So one who has no desires, he is free. Like children, there is no connection anywhere. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita also. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. If you remember, in the second chapter, Krishna says that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmani evalmana tushta sthita pratnya tadochyade. Blessed Lord said, O Partha, this is 255. The Blessed Lord said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogaran almanyeva almana tushta sthita pratnya tadochyade. That is that verse. So when the desires have completely gone away, only in that situation it is possible to be situated within the self. That means he will find that happiness in the self. He will find the happiness in the self. That is what that point is. Alpanyo alpana tushta. He will find happiness, but only when prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogada. It is connected like that. Alpanyo alpana tushta. In order to experience the happiness of Atma, the soul, Krishna's condition is that all desires must go from inside. And once you have experienced that happiness, Krishna says there, Alpanyeva Alpana Tushta Sthita Prajna Tadochyade. Because even a smallest increment of divine will be felt, any will be felt, desire will be felt as a disturbance. after you have experienced the presence of the soul, when you have realized the self, even if you have experienced the happiness of that self, Krishna's point is, even the smallest movement of desire inside will be felt as a disturbance. That's what that verse is saying. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanyeva almana tushta sthita prajnyasta duchyade almanyeva almana tushta. That is what Krishna is talking about all the way through Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? How to be situated on the platform of the self. Because without getting any happiness from the self, no matter how much you go in spiritual life, you will find it a endless journey. Is it not? Often we will get frustrated in that journey. Or not having any experience of the soul, not having any experience of the self. This will keep coming back. Any yoga system is like that. But Krishna's point is that that has to happen, because if we do not get that happiness from the self, but only extracting happiness from the world and the body and the mind, our spiritual life won't stay very long. That is why one has to be so alert. Even when there is a very powerful influence from the world, you have to know that that happiness is not real happiness. We should be able to reject that. Even when we get some little happiness from this world, you got to be careful to take it that that is not real happiness coming from the soul, it's coming from the world and the body and the mind. And that is not real. That is what Krishna is specifically pointing out there. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Anything that is born out of desire, Krishna is saying, that is coming from the mind. Desires come from the mind. And all the desires what you fulfill based on the desires from the mind is also not permanent. They are temporary and they are under the modes of nature. And because they are under the modes of nature, they will come and go. They won't stay. This is why material happiness is not permanent. Why? Because they are under the modes of material nature. This is the reason. And then in the next two lines, Krishna is saying, instead, almanyeva almana tushta, if it has come from Atma, from the soul, almanyeva almana tushta, sthita prajnya stadochade, his happiness will be steady. It will not waver anymore. Because three modes of material nature, when it gives you some happiness, it comes through the mind, and the mind is always wavering. Mind cannot remain steady, isn't it? It's continuously moving up and down. So that separation is important. That prajahadi yada, that is why Krishna says, once you start experiencing the presence of the soul, Atma's presence, Atma's happiness, if one start experiencing that, after that, once you start receiving that happiness from the soul, even any slight desire comes inside, small desire, you will feel like a disturbance inside. You will feel like a disturbance inside. Because you can see that that a smallest desire even, it will show up as an imperfection inside us. Because the way spiritual life goes is not fulfilling the desires. Spiritual life is not fulfilling the desires when we have proper knowledge and discrimination. Because even one who has proper knowledge and discrimination, desires will come. But what he does is, instead of fulfilling the desires, he actually gives up desires. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life is not fulfilling the desires. Spiritual life is giving up desires. Fulfilling desires is materialistic life. Spiritual life is giving up desires. So, because desire is also, ultimately, it is a thought wave. Chittavritti it is. Isn't it? It is a chittavritti. Let it be there. Anyway, and so many things will come in the mind. So many thoughts will come all the time. But still, one has to understand this. It is a thought wave. It is a thought wave. So here, Krishna says that when one has discrimination, what he does is, he separates his mind away from himself. He separates it from himself, and therefore the desire loses its strength. When desires come, when that is discrimination. Discriminative power is like that. With discrimination, we will be able to separate the mind away from the self, and in that way, those desires that has come in the mind will lose its power, will lose its strength. So, in other words, give up desires, that is the message. Giving up desires is the message. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Who says this? Pingala says this. In the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see. Ashahi paramam dukham, nairashyam paramam sukham. Pingala says. Ashahi paramam dukham. Desires is only going to create distress. And nairashyam paramam sukham. When you don't have desires or you are disappointed, no desire is getting fulfilled, in that it's happiness, he says. That is how it is. Material desires, when they get fulfilled, we feel happy, isn't it? So many desires what we have. When everything gets fulfilled, we feel happy. So Krishna says here, it is not like that. That you can see here, it is not due to material properties or assets or vastu or objects what we have that we are suffering, whether we have it or not. We are suffering because of desires. Because of desires we are suffering. Not because we don't have the objects. So there are many people in this world who haven't got even what little we have got. There are so many people in this world, isn't it? But they are still happy. There are many people like that who are happier than us. So, therefore, you have to understand that vastu or objects is not the cause of happiness. And there are many people who have got a lot more than what we have got, isn't it? And they are still in distress. So, if you look at both sides, you can see this. There are many people who don't have even what material wealth what we have, they don't have it, and they are happier than us. And there are many people who have got a lot more than what we have got, and they are not happy either. They are in distress also. So, naturally, objects on their own is not the cause of happiness or distress. Is not the cause of happiness or distress. And because of our desires to have the objects, therefore, we feel happiness or distress. We feel happiness or distress. And this has to be seen with proper discrimination. And that sushma buddhi, that intelligence, with that intelligence of discrimination, we have to pull out each and every desire from inside and throw it out. Each desire from inside and throw it out. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is all this. Pulling out each and every one desire from inside and taking it out. So, no other desires, that is what Krishna says. And nothing else is necessary for realizing the self, even for realizing the self. So, in any way, if we develop connections with others, and in any way if some desires build up, a connection will happen. If any desires builds up, and as soon as desire built up in any form, doesn't matter which way it is, immediately a relationship will be built up and your intelligence will start working in that direction. And therefore, it is just like that. Even in spiritual life, it is like that. If a desire built up like that, you will want to have a lot of people to come, and then you want to start an institution and you want to institutionalize everything, spiritual life. And then you start feeling that you got to have your own a center, and in that center you got to have a attendance register and who is coming, going, all these things. So instead of making a person independent, you are making a person more dependent. This is the difficulty. Instead of making a person independent, you are making a person more dependent. Instead of making others independent, you are making him dependent, and you are becoming yourself also dependent on others. So if this discrimination comes in our mind, then nothing will bind us in this world. Nothing will bind us in this world. No object will bind us into us, bind us in this world. And you can remain independent all the time. And you don't have to surrender your independence anywhere. Otherwise, we will not tie down anything else. We won't tie down anything else. And such a person alone is independent. Alone is independent. And so, so for our spiritual that independence, for that independence to go through in life, all the organizations which is created from your mind and intelligence, all organizations are created by mind and intelligence, they will become a block. They will become a block because our human nature is want to be free, isn't it? Ultimately, we want to be liberated. We want to become free. Liberation means freedom. Freedom from all bondage. Everything is a bondage. Institution is also a bondage, isn't it? Institution is also a bondage. But what people are saying is, we will go to spiritual world and start an institution there. This is what happens. So where is the freedom? Where is the liberation then? Here, you have so many different situations where you are in bondage. You are in bondage in the family. You are bondage in the society. You are bonded by the government, country. These are all bondages on us, isn't it? You can't break the law to live here. You have to follow the law, whatever may be good or bad, right or wrong. You have to follow that. That means you are in bondage. You don't have the freedom. And similarly in spiritual life also, institution is a bondage. And we are saying, after that death, we'll go and start the same institution somewhere else. So where is the freedom then? What have we been trying for then? We want to be free. We don't want this bondage. That is what liberation means. Freedom from everything. Freedom from the body, freedom from the mind. Everything we want, freedom. Freedom is our birthright. That is Alma's nature. Soul by nature is not want an institution also. Soul doesn't want an institution. Institution is what we have created from the body and the mind. It has come from there. Intelligent acharyas have spoken about it very clearly. When they started the institution, that is why they didn't want institutionally to go too far in that direction. To make it more a troublesome, later on the whole thing becomes a burden on your head. And to keep the institution going, you have to work for in this life. Where is the freedom then? So this has to be thought about. The intelligent thing is, even acharyas will mention this, that they won't go for the institution. They will say, institution to some extent, some of them have established certain setup, but beyond than that, they won't allow the institution to interfere in your spiritual life. Spiritual life is your own individual life, it is. That cannot be tampered with anybody in this world. So, institutions that you have created with your mind and intelligence is also a problem. Because it's come from mind and intelligence. It's not from the Shastra. Any of them has come. So, individual man has to be free. Man has to be free. And why we have to be free? There is a reason behind this. Each one of us, our way back to the self-realization is independent. It's not the same for everybody. This is a misconception. It cannot be. Because after all, in our spiritual journey, we have brought with us all kinds of vasanas with us. And that is different from one person to another. Everyone's prarabdham is different. Vasanas are different. And therefore, our spiritual journey will be different. Because it's like that. Because our vasanas are different, our prarabdham is different, our spiritual journeys also will be different. It will never be the same. That is why you will see in same institution, two people are different. The one will be going in one direction, another will be going in another direction. So that means we have to know the truth from the Shastram and then we have to follow independently. Independently, you have to make your journey. The truth is only like a light for us. Truth is only like a light for us. For example, suppose it's dark now, you have to go home. All I can do is to give you a torch and tell you, you should go. I don't know your way to the home, your home. You have to take the torch and you have to travel yourself. Suppose if I tell you, you come with me, I'll show you the way to your home, that means I may take you to the wrong place. That's the way it is. So, torch is same for everybody. Torch is same. The knowledge is same for everyone. But where your home is, I do not know. And you have to go on your own. And when it is organization, what will say? What will the organization will say? Organization will say that I will take you there. That's the difference. Organization cannot take you anywhere. Nobody has realized the self through the organization till now. So, only thing is that if I tell you that I am taking you home, it may not be to your home. I will be taking you somewhere else. Through the way what I know, I will take you. But not the way you are meant to go. You won't be going through that way. And you can get caught up in the darkness. Not only that, you will get caught up in the darkness, I will also be in darkness in that process. So that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see, in the Matsyavataram story, Anthayatandai Rupaniyamanam Ebishatandriyam Uridamni Bhagha Anthaniyam Niyamanam Yathanda. The light is same for everyone. The light is same for everyone, but the path is different. Path is different. Knowledge is equal to everybody. Everybody. But everyone, one same path won't work. Even though Krishna has said there are three processes, karma, jnanam and bhakti, even there is difficulty. Because it won't be precisely on that three lines, it won't happen. Because you will see our prarabdham and vasanas are so different that it is difficult to say that this is the route for anyone, that he has to find himself. There is no other way. So that is why, consciously, to keep everyone in one place and says to him that this is a sadhana for everybody. It's not possible to do that. Because you may think that if you say like that, oh, it's working. It's working. You may think like that. But it will only work for a few days or a few months or probably sometimes a few years. After that, you will see it is not working. It's not working. We have seen that. Ourselves, we have seen that. It doesn't work. So, then what happens is, for a few years you execute the sadhana, together the same sadhana, and afterwards, andhantama pravishanyi, like Upanishad says, that you will get into darkness again. You have been doing, because light is there, you have not utilized the light, rather you like the company of the people. Compare the people who are with you. So every one of us have to find our own path to the self-realization. That is why you will see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just now has not spoken a particular sadhana for everybody. Have you noticed that? Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying a particular sadhana. So, generally he has spoken many things, in general. But does he say anywhere a specific sadhana in the Bhagavad Gita? You won't find it anywhere Krishna has spoken. Because Krishna knows that it is not possible to do that. Each one of us are different. And we have to recognize that difference. That is why till we come back to ourselves, instead of looking for self-realization in the world, we will always be in trouble. We will always feel misled and we will always feel cheated. And then we'll blame others. Why? Because our own process was wrong. Instead of we starting with ourselves the process and looking for cultivating our own path, instead we have started going in the wrong direction from the very beginning. That is why Krishna says here that the in general things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the important things he mentioned was that freedom from desires. Freedom from desires. That Krishna has spoken. That's an important thing. That means, in other words, if you want to jump out of all the desires, Krishna has put one restriction there. Have you noticed in the Bhagavad Gita? If you study seriously Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. Krishna has put a restriction there. That is why he is saying there, dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamasmi. There is a verse there. Dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamasmi bharadarshabha. Krishna is saying. That means Krishna says there that in order to maintain this body, to live in this world, whatever desires you may have, that desire is not considered as a desire. That is allowed. First thing in Bhagavad Gita, you won't find one specific sadhana for everybody. Krishna spoke about Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Raja Yogam, then Akshara Brahma Yogam, modes of nature, and then Yoga of the Supreme Person, Purushottama Yogam. So many things Krishna has spoken. In general, everything Krishna has spoken. Everything Krishna has spoken in general about it. Krishna has spoken in general about it. So after saying all these things, after saying all that things, Krishna is saying there that desire is one thing which has to go from everyone at the end. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogada. Alpanya valpana tushta. Sthita pratnya tadochyade, he says. So without desires leaving, it is not possible to progress in spiritual path. That's one condition. But then having said that, Krishna also said that when it comes to dharma aviruddha bodheshu, he says here that he put a limitation. Dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamosmi bharadarshava. He also said that that desire which is necessary, which is meant for maintaining this body, is not considered to be a desire. Is not considered to be a desire. Because in order to live in this world, that desire is not considered to be a desire. Therefore, so that is why, because people do not understand this. What's the question? I'll answer.
Sorry.
Which verse?
Seven eleven.
So, so people will ask this question: desires and this desires and desires for maintaining the body. Desires and designing desires for maintaining the body. People keep this away and ask this question. Okay, if you say you cannot have desires, why do you want to eat the food? Why do you have to eat food? So that is not what Krishna is... When Krishna says that verse, you have to remember that. You see, otherwise it will become a contradiction, isn't it? If you look at that Prajahadi Yada Kaman verse and this Dharma Viruddha Bodheshu, what is that? 7-11. 7-11 and 2-55, isn't it? Yeah, 2-55 and 7-11. If you read those two verses, one verse is saying you should have no desires. And the other verse Krishna is saying, that verse 7-11 is saying, I quote the chapter and verse, I think that's the way people like it, isn't it? Rather than the verse. So 2-9 and 2-55 and 7-11 are contradicting each other. People will think like that. Some people are like that, they want the verse numbers, it matters to them. So, try to understand the verse itself, because verses are more important than the numbers. So, verses are saying, Krishna is saying, Prajahadi yada kaman, hold on to the verse, words will help you, numbers won't be able to help you very much. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, alpanye valpana tushta sthita pratya tadochyade. Krishna is saying that all desires must be given up, because desires are coming from the mind. And when you are situated in the soul, platform of the soul, alpanye valpana tushta sthita pratyatvam comes. That means, once you are situated in the platform of the soul, these will not disturb you anymore. Desires are coming from the modes of nature and the mind. Is it not? So, Krishna is saying, at the same time in 7-11, dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamosmi bharadarshava. Why does he say like that? That means this, that body has to go on in this world and body needs a certain thing. For example, eating, that's not a desire. sleeping, that's not a desire. If you want to live in a house, that's not a desire. That is not rejected. Krishna has not said that you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't live in a house. Krishna has not said that. What Krishna is saying here is that desires which are not justified by which has come from the mind, sarvan parthamanogana, that comes from the mind, it's a biological desire, eating, sleeping and things like that, isn't it? So that is not what is meant. That desire to maintain this body, that is not rejected. That is not rejected. It's a biological desire, not psychological. Not psychological. On the other hand, you want to have a big name in this world, fame in this world, a lot of money, position, power, all these kind of things, and to acquire unnecessarily a lot of wealth, things like that, all these are psychological desires. And that it is inordinate desire, and you should not get caught up in that. That is what that verse is saying. Don't get caught up in those things, whether it is in material life or in spiritual life, especially in spiritual life. Especially in spiritual life, not to get caught up in that. That is why that when you study 255, you should know in what context it is spoken. Otherwise, it will all become very difficult. 255 and 711 will contradict. So that is why, and somebody will say, they will read this, and then they will say, oh, either this is contradicting, or they will say, based on 255, they will say, why do you want to eat then? Why do you want to sleep? Why do you want the house? Things like that. So knowing very well, knowing this, 255 and 711, we should not go and get caught up in that, in the way which comes from psychological desires. Psychological desires. If you jump out of that, Krishna says, Shanti will come. Shanti will come and freedom will come. And that freedom eventually will release us from these three modes of material nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, as long as we have desire, as long as there is desire, you will be caught up in one of these three modes of nature. That is the important point. One of these modes of nature. Now, the question is that, is it possible to give up all the desires? That question will come, isn't it? Is it possible for us to do that? You can try, but you will understand if you talk in terms of an example, how that desires will get taken out. So, this is a story from the Puranam, one of the Puranams. I don't know which one it is, but it is often spoken by the Mahalmas. They talk about this. That a little bird went and laid its eggs in the ocean. It fell into the ocean, on the ocean, on the shore. On the shore. On the shore it laid its eggs. And the ocean, when it had the tide, it came and took the eggs into the ocean. It went in the water. It went in the water. This little bird got very upset with the ocean. The bird decided that this ocean, which has got so many aquatics, big fishes and fish and so many other aquatics there, why does it need my eggs? And I'm going to drink this water in the ocean and going to dry it up. Dry up the ocean by drinking the water. This small little bird is saying like this and decided like that. And little by little it started drinking the water. It will go and take some water from the ocean, bring it and start drinking it. And sometimes it will take the water and bring it and pour it into the land. It will pour it into the land. Finally it got exhausted. It's a small bird, isn't it? It got exhausted. But still, it was very determined to make the ocean dry, to get the ocean dry. And it was doing like that. Meanwhile, a saintly person came that way. And he says to this little bird, why are you doing this? So the bird says to the rishi, to the sage, this ocean has stolen my eggs. And I am going to dry this ocean by drinking this water. So the Rishi, Maharshi asked him, then you think you will be able to drink the water and empty this ocean? So, and compared to the ocean, how small you are compared to that. So, the bird is answering, the little bird is saying to the Rishi, I don't see logic in all these things, he said. I'm not thinking about the logic. If I look into the logical way, I cannot do it. The bird is answering. Either I will dry the ocean, dry up the ocean, or I'm going to die. Seeing this determination of this little bird, that he goes, the Rishi goes to the ocean and finds that the little eggs that the bird has left there, which was taken away by the ocean, he picks them up and bring it over and hands it over to the bird and gives it to the bird. And Gaudapada Acharya mentions this in the Mandukya Karika also, this example. He says like this, that so many desires that has come in our mind in the form of desires, which has later developed into vasana. That's what it happens, isn't it? First it comes in the form of desires and then it turns into vasanas. So, throwing away these vasanas or from inside is like, he says, with the darbhagras, you go to the ocean and if you start with the darbhagras, how much water can you get out from the ocean? So when you try to do it like that, in that way, that is how much time it's going to take to get rid of these desires from inside. So when you continuously start doing this, finally, you will know that it cannot be done. These desires cannot be taken out in that way. So, and finally you feel yourself that you are helpless about that. So that helpless situation has to happen in us. At that time, Krishna's point is, the mind will become inward-looking, introvert. It becomes inward-looking and it will start working inside, looking for help from Andaryami, Because normally you can see in material life also, when we fail in all our efforts, that is when we start praying to Krishna for help. If you feel that you can do it on your own, you won't be praying. Isn't it? When everything fails and you know that you can't do it, but still you want it, then what do? You go to Krishna. Everybody in the world, all over, it is like that. People pray to God only when they cannot do it themselves. That means first, ahankaram has to accept defeat. The ego has to accept defeat. Same thing in spiritual life also. In spiritual life, it requires a bigger defeat than... In the material life, it is like this. First you feel the defeat, and then when you get what you wanted, then your ego will come back again, bounce back, and then you start thinking. But in spiritual life, to a very high degree, ego has to accept defeat. And ego has to realize that it is not possible in this world to realize the self on your own. Only then, jiva will turn inward looking and look for help from Andaryami. It will look for help from Andaryami. This is that Rukmini's message to Krishna. Rukmini's message is that, in story form it is spoken like that, Rukmini going to sending the message through Brahmana and all that. Rukmini is Jiva. Message is that surrender to Krishna. This Rukmini Sandesham in the Bhagavadam is only to show to us that Jiva cannot do it on his own. Rukmini is a Jiva there. And when Jiva cannot do it, the only option is it has to go to Krishna. Andaryami inside, who is Krishna. So Rukmini's message is only an indication of that. And then what happened? When Jiva surrenders to Krishna, Krishna comes and takes away the Jiva and swallows the Jiva. Andaryami from inside comes out and swallows the Jiva. And that is that story, what it is all about. Krishna going to Vidarbha, and at any cost I will take care of Rukmini, Krishna says. I will take control of her. And this is that story. this episode of Jiva surrendering to Krishna and Krishna coming and protecting the Jiva, taking shelter of the Jiva who has taken shelter of Krishna. That Jiva being taken care of by Krishna, that is spoken in the story form through that Rukmini's message. The whole that chapter is only to teach us this, that Jiva has to surrender first, right? Rukmini has surrendered. When he surrenders, that when Jiva sends a message, like Rukmini sent to Krishna, when Jiva sends the message to Antaryami, at that time, this will happen. But the message has to be sent first. We have not sent the message till now. That's why we are like this. We are still thinking, I will find out in the world somewhere. I will find someone, I will find some place where I will realize the self. I still have a lot of faith in my own ability in finding it. Isn't it? Finding and realizing the truth. That is why my endeavor hasn't stopped. I'm still looking, doing this, doing that, going here, going there. All kinds of things I'm doing. But the moment I realize it, I cannot do it. It has to happen from Antaryami. And I start giving my attention towards Antaryami and surrender to Antaryami. And then Antaryami comes and takes care of the situation. This is all great realized souls have confirmed this. In the one time or the other, they will say this. They will all say this because that is their experience. That's their experience. Nobody has said so far in this world that they realize the self through their effort. I haven't come across anybody. All the great personalities, if you look, especially in the Vedic tradition, every single person has said, finally, it's not by their effort, by Krishna's grace it has happened. This is the way they have spoken about it. Even though they were highly realized jnanis, highly great devotees, great yogis, all of them, whether they have come through Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Margam, or Yoga Margam, or Karma Margam, doesn't matter. Finally, their conclusion is, it's always finally by Krishna's grace, not by their effort. Because this will happen. That is why you can see this in the Upanishad also. Two birds are sitting on the tree. Two birds are sitting on the tree. Vedam says this, isn't it? It's a Vedic thing. It is in the Vedam, it is in the Upanishads, it is in the Purana. The same story. And one bird is sending the message to another bird, the next other bird. That similar, that is, one is the Jiva, the other one is the Antaryami. Those two birds which are sitting on the tree. One is Jiva, other one is Antaryami. Other one is Antaryami. So the moment, you can see in that verse also in the Bhagavadam, the Jiva goes on in his own way, jumping from one branch to another branch, eating this fruit, eating that fruit, finding happiness. When he gets disturbed, he looks into the Antaryami, the other bird who is sitting on the other branch. But then finally, when he gets completely helpless, he keeps looking at the Antaryami. And Antaryami, what does he do? He goes, gets closer and closer to Antaryami at that time, as much as he is feeling distress inside. So, when the relationship is built up with Antaryami, then Antaryami starts attracting this Jiva towards him. And at that time, finally, he goes and merges with Antaryami. That's what happens. In the Upanishads, it is like that. It Vasubarna Saija Sukhaya Samana Vruksham Parishasya Jade Tayor Anyam Pippala Swadvati Anastananyo Abhijaga Shiti. This verse is in the Upanishads. These verses are in the Bhagavadam. This verse is in the Vedam also. In all places, it is spoken in that way. That finally, that Antaryami will come and take control of the Jiva and he will swallow him. He will swallow him. And that is called Kripa. That swallowing the Jiva by the grace of Antaryami, that is called Kripa. That is called Kripa. So all these examples in the Bhagavadam, Rukmini's Sandesham, Rukmini's message to Krishna. In the Upanishads, these two birds sitting on the tree. All these things is only to tell us this one important message. Jiva cannot do it on his own. He cannot do it. It's not possible. And as long as we are thinking that we can do it, it is not going to happen. That's the way it is. It will not happen. As long as you think you can do it. Mind will tell you, yes, you can do it. Mind will tell you, you can do it. Why? That's the job of the mind. Mind has to tell you that. Otherwise, he has no existence. Mind can only exist if he keeps telling us that, oh, you can do it. Like we say that, isn't it? You can do it. So that he will tell you also in spiritual life. But in spiritual life particularly, it is more important that it is not possible to do it on our own. That is where Krishna's grace is necessary. So all these examples, that when the two birds sitting on the tree, when the one bird which wants to enjoy life like us and wants to see the happiness in this world, it wants to experience, it's jumping from one branch to another, it is going in that way. So when it is keep on jumping, the Antaryami bird sits quietly there, doesn't say anything. But when he finds that finally this bird who has jumped all over and eaten all sorts of fruits in this world, finally he gets attracted by the Antaryami's beauty. And then he turns his attention towards Antaryami, which is our mind turning its attention towards Antaryami. And when that happens, that vastu inside, that bird inside will come and eat this small bird. That is why he is called Charapurusha. Remember Charam. Charam means what? That one which dies. Jiva dies. Jiva finally dies. That's why he's called Charam. Other Purusha is called Acharapurusha. Krishna uses the same word, Charapurusha and Acharapurusha. We are Charapurusha. Krishna is Acharapurusha. Krishna comes and swallows us. Antaryami comes and takes us. Antaryami comes and takes us away. And once we are taken away, then that's the end of our existence. In the sense that Ahangaram is gone, therefore we have gone. So, so when you look at it this way, you can see, on the one hand, it is due to our effort only we acquire things in this world, isn't it? So similarly, self-realization also, we can say that it is through your effort. On one hand you can say like that, it is through your effort that you realize the self. On the other hand, you have to say it is not through your effort that you realize the self. Both are correct. Both statements are correct. You see the difficulty in spiritual life, you can't get it black and white, anything. Everything is like this. On the one hand, through your effort only you can realize the truth. You have to have your effort. On the other hand, with your effort you can't realize the truth. Both are true. Because without our effort nothing will happen. If you don't have put in any effort inside, it will not happen. And also, with our effort alone, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Effort is necessary. Effort is necessary. Sadhana is necessary. And all effort is necessary to finally to realize that my effort, it will not happen. That's the final result that's going to happen. So, till we receive this grace from Krishna, our false ego will keep working. Our false ego will keep working. And the moment we have received that grace or kripa from Krishna, then he will start seeing the power of that Krishna's grace in himself. He will start seeing the Krishna's grace, power of Krishna's grace within himself. He will not think anymore in terms of his ego. Up to that time, initially, he will see that that is how it works. That till you receive Krishna's grace, your ego will operate. Your ego will operate. Ego will operate till you receive Krishna's grace. And when you start receiving Krishna's grace, then you will see the power of that grace within himself. And his ego will never wake up again. His ego will never wake up again. So after that, without giving any power to his own ego, this powerful Chit Shakti, which is Krishna's power, Chit Shakti, and it will come and take control of that ego completely. And all the time, that grace, that is Krishna's grace, not to allow our ego to get up and to start operating. And what the Krishna's grace does is, that Kripa Shakti, what it does is, it will come, take control of our ahangaram, and keep it under his control all the time, under Krishna's control all the time. And this is what they call as Krishna's taking control of the devotee. Krishna's taking control of the devotee. So, many Mahatmas give different examples. One example is that a child is going to the market with the father. Father is going for shopping into a big busy market. So the child says to him, the father, I'll hold on to your hand. Father says to the child, no, I will hold your hand because it's safer. If the child goes to hold the father's hand, it's possible in the crowd he may lose it and he can get separated. But if the father holds the child's hand, then he's safe, isn't it? There's no chance of losing the child. This is the same thing in spiritual life. If Krishna takes control, then you are safe. When we take control, we are not safe. We are not safe. That's the point. That is what. In the three modes of material nature, we are in control. Outside the modes of nature, Krishna is in control. That's the difference. So the reason is, this personality, ahankaram, what is our individuality, what we call it as, that as long as it is busy there, our personality, because it's not our real personality. This ego is not our real personality. And that this personality is that is coming from our intelligence. False ego is nothing but coming from out of the intelligence. And it is not a real personality. And it is based on material desires. And it is also based on the sense enjoyment. It's also based on the sense enjoyment. So, when you start inquiring about that personality, when you start finding out from where this has come up, this false ego, or jiva ahanda as it is called, inquiring in that way is called jnana marga. That's called jnana marga. That means, what is the nature of this personality, what we are talking about, jiva ahanda, or ahankaram, or false ego, or individuality, or personality, whatever it may be. What is its nature? And realizing that I am in bondage, because that is the nature of this personality. Alpa is not in bondage. False ego is in bondage. That's what it creates, the bondage. And the distress of the material world affects this personality. Which one? This ahankaram, or jiva ahankaram. I have got distress. I want to sleep. I want to work, I want to meditate, and if all these things are operating inside, that personality which is trapped in the three modes of material nature, that time this personality is trapped in sattogunam, rajogunam or tamogunam. You have to analyze it properly, otherwise you will always get confused with this, because majority of the people, they do not see these differences because they don't take Bhagavad Gita seriously. If you don't separate it out, what will happen is, what's happening in the prakriti and in the body, you will mix it up with spiritual activity. Spirit soul, Krishna is repeatedly saying to us, is never affected by the matter. Spirit soul is independent. Very nature of the spirit soul is satyam, jnanam, anandam, brahmam. And chitta, chitta, anandam, nityam, shuddham, shuddham, bodham, mukta, swarupam. All these things is spoken about the soul. And that is our real personality. Not this ego personality. Ego personality is the one which has been created in the modes of nature. And ego personality is the one which feels happiness and distress. Ego personality is the one which is suffering all the time. And ego personality is always under the three modes of nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam. And this is not the real personality. So, who is me then? And who is that person who wants to escape from material existence? That's also this ego personality. Other one is never in material existence, isn't it? So if you inquire, this is what Jnanamargam is all about. Jnanamargam is this inquiry, finding out this ego personality, and finally, where does he come from? Where was he born? How was he born? Where was he born? all these things, then you will know finally that it is not real, that ego personality is a false one. And what really exists is only liberation, liberated state. That's all that exists. So, people, when they say that I want to do several things, karma, I want to perform various karma activities, then you have to ask this question, and saying his desires, you have to ask this question, who is desiring? Who has got this desire? It's coming from this ego personality. Ego personality. And you will see that when you ask that question, if you have this background knowledge of the ego personality and the real personality, who we are, then you know that this ego personality disappears when you ask this question, because he is not real. He is not real. Because you can see, Krishna is mentioning there, that ego personality doesn't exist. How do you know he doesn't exist? That is the reason in Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, Prakriti is doing everything, not him. You see that? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. There is a verse like that, isn't it? What Krishna, that verse you have to understand in its proper way. That what Krishna is saying to us is, okay, there is the real personality who doesn't do anything, Atma. This ego personality is the one which is claiming that I am doing everything. He, ego personality, is not real. Why? Krishna is saying in that verse. Why? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ego personality cannot do anything. But prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Material nature, three modes of material nature is doing everything, but this ego personality comes and says and gets the credit, takes the credit for that. Therefore Krishna says, he is coming from outside and taking credit, he doesn't exist really, because he is ego personality. So, he doesn't exist, Prakriti is doing everything. Ahangara vimudhalpa, because of his ego personality, he is vimudhalpa, and he thinks kartaham iti manyate, that he is doing everything. He is doing everything. There are many examples in the Vedantam for that. In the Vedantam there are many examples. Suppose you are making a nice sabji. You are cooking various vegetables. You have put all the spices and it's boiling. And in that sabji there is potatoes, eggplants, okra and many other things. That's all coming up and down and boiling. And finally it's all cooked, and then you have the spoon to serve the sabji. And the spoon is thinking, if I am not there, this will not work. In the similar way, this false ego comes in, finally. Somebody else is doing everything. Prakriti is doing everything. But the spoon claims the credit. This ego personality is like that. He comes in. And you take once the credit for everything. You say, I've done this, I've done that, I've done so many things, big, big things. And claims all the credit for that. And that doesn't go away even in spiritual life also. Actually in spiritual life it's a lot more than the other places. And we are the people who are saying all these things to others. And in spiritual life it is the maximum. This prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. So, when he realizes this, that Prakriti is doing everything, and inside what really exists is that substratum, Atma, who is not a part of any of these things, Prakriti is doing everything, and when that realization comes, it is Karma Yoga. That is Karma Yoga. That means there is no karta, there is no bhokta. That has gone from inside, isn't it? So, so if we say like this, you have to realize that truth in the way Krishna has spoken. And if you say this to a devotee also, and if that devotee is also thinking that I am doing all these things, if that comes, then it's very difficult. The devotee also has to realize that I am not doing anything, only Krishna is doing everything. Only Krishna is doing everything. So, That is why devotee doesn't exist, only Krishna exists. Because Krishna is doing everything. Vibhakti nashaya cha bhakti yoga. Bhakti yogam happens when vibhakti comes. Vibhakti is this, that I'm thinking, I'm doing everything. Viyoga nashaya cha raja yoga. Karmitva nashaya cha karma yoga. Abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. In every yoga system, whether it is karma yogam, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, whatever it may be, that ownership that I am the doer has to go. Has to go. And abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. Abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. In other words, that abhodhanasham means that pure consciousness you don't have, contaminated consciousness. That is, this abhodhanasham is that. To destroy that contaminated consciousness, which is I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and coming to my pure state, then I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. You see? I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, that is pure consciousness. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is contaminated consciousness. So to free yourself from that contaminated consciousness and come to this pure consciousness is called bodha yogam. Abhodha yogam, abhodha nasham, bodha yogam. Abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. Similarly, karmitva nashaya cha karma yoga. When I am executing karmam, karmi thinks I am doing, I am enjoying. Karma yogi thinks what? I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. So in all the yoga process also you will see the same thing. They are not different. Whether it is jnanam, bhakti or karmam. In all the three systems also it's the same thing. That karma yogi will say, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Karmi will say, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So when that karmitva nasham happened, karmitva is that. What is karmitva means? Karmitva means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That is karmitva. So karmitva nashaya cha karma yoga. When karmitva goes away, you become a karma yogi. When abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. When abhodha gets destroyed, you become a jnana yogi. Jnana yogi. Abhodha nasham, bodha nasham means karma yoga. Jnana yoga. So similarly, viyoga nashaya cha raja yoga. In Raja Yoga, what is spoken about is that Viyoga, that separation is gone away from Krishna. You coming back to that oneness of the yoga system. And Viyoga Nashaya cha Raja Yoga and Vibhakti Nashaya cha Bhakti Yoga. When Vibhakti goes away, Bhakti comes. Vibhakti goes away, Bhakti comes. So Vibhakti is this. What is Vibhakti? Vibhakti is this. I will execute spiritual life, I will realize the truth. This is all vibhakti. Bhakti is, I will surrender and I will accept only Krishna exists, I don't exist. That means, when I say I don't exist, what does exactly mean is that you are considering yourself to be the lowest of all. That is bhakti, isn't it? Considering that you are totally helpless, completely surrendered state, that is vibhakti state. So when vibhakti comes, vibhakti gets destroyed, bhakti comes. Vibhakti nashaya cha bhakti yoga. And similarly, viyoga nashaya cha raja yoga. Karmitva nashaya cha karma yoga. And abhodha nashaya cha bodha yoga. That is the Upanishad statement. So, when karta bhokta that goes away, vibhakti has to go, bhakti yoga has to be practiced. In order, karmitvam has to go, karma yogam has to be practiced, and similarly, viyogam has to go, rajayogam has to be practiced, and for bodham to come, jnana yogam has to be practiced. In little by little, if you look, you will see finally your whole this way, that whole ahankaram, false ego, will get destroyed with all the four yoga system. Because you will realize at that time, your so-called personality or individuality is not real, and all that what exists is purely consciousness. Purely consciousness. That means only Krishna exists. Only Krishna exists. And that is realization. Only Krishna exists. And it is not through intellectualization or intellectual understanding. That's not what it is. Not through the intellectually experience, intellectually realizing it, but what happens is the false ego goes and dissolves itself in the root where it came from. Total destruction of the false ego inside. That's what it is. In all levels. Remember, Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam. All the three does the same thing. Dravyadvaitam is another thing. It's the same thing. What is Dravyadvaitam? Knowing very well that everything is Krishna's, not mine. Kriyadvaitam is all work that's happening, Krishna is doing it through this body. That is Kriyadvaitam. Bhavadvaitam is only Krishna exists. Only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists here. I don't exist in that sense. That means because it's based on the body, I'm claiming my existence. Isn't it? So when you lose that this body, intellectual and ahangaram, that false ego, I exist because of the false ego. When the false ego goes and dissolves itself in its root, which is the source where it originated, and that that is end of all search, all the search. Hritstale manaswastada kriya bhakti yoga bhavadascha nischidam. Bhakti yoga bhavadascha nischidam. If Hritstala means in the place where ahangaram has taken birth, if it is settled here, then that itself is bhakti yogam, raja yogam, karma yogam, jnana yogam, whatever you call it. Basically what's happening is that this false ego, ahangaram inside us, it goes and dissolves itself in the place where it was born. Ahangaram was born there, from there, isn't it? And that itself is karma yogam, raja yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, everything. So, that dissolving this ahangaram, dissolving this false ego, it can happen through bhakti, prema or love, devotion. It can dissolve it. You can dissolve it through self-inquiry, jnana margam. Jnana margam, you can dissolve it. You can dissolve it through yoga margam, chittavritti nirodha, Patanjali's yoga system. And you can destroy it through karma yoga. How? Through karmam, allowing the prakriti to do the karmam through the body, you remaining as a witness to it all the time. So in any of these process, it is possible to destroy that false ego inside. So when that is destroyed, then sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam cannot come in anymore. Because sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is only in the ahangaram, isn't it? Who gives strength to this ahangaram? These three gunam. Sattva, rajas, tamas, it gives the strength for the ahangaram. Ahangaram survives because of the modes of nature. So, somehow or the other, whether through karma yoga, or through raja yoga, or through bhakti yoga, or through jnana yoga, if this ahangaram gets dissolved, then there is no place for the modes of nature to remain. And at that time, jiva is free. Jiva is free. So, although it is sattugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam, Krishna said, each matter which one it is, all three of them will bind us. All three of them will bind us. It is at that time Arjuna asked Krishna, if it is like that, how will I get free from this bondage? It's a very silent question Krishna is asking. You can see the next verse. 19. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yatadrashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati nanyam gunebhya kartaram yatadrashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. When you see that there is nothing beyond these modes of nature in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. Isn't it? What is Krishna saying there? That when you see that there is nothing beyond these modes of nature in all activities. All activities come true. In all activities, it is the same what Krishna has spoken before, that there is nothing beyond these modes of nature in all activities. That means in all activities, what actually is working is the modes of nature. Modes of nature is working in all the activities. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, Prabhupada mentions there, one can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. So, when we see that, we will see. That verse is a little different in the sense. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram. Yadadrashtanu pashyati. A person who is realized, he is seeing that when activity is happening in the world, he doesn't look at the person. He will never look at the person. What he is seeing here is that he is not seeing the action, rather he is seeing the karta, who is the real karta in the action. For example, the two things, drashtava and drishyam. Drashtava and drishyam. The person who is doing the karma, he is separate from the karma. He is separate from the karma. Normally, everything in this world, we will say that so-and-so has done it, so-and-so has done it. That's how we connect the karmam and the karta together. The doer and the action, we connect it together, isn't it? Here, Krishna is saying, nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. That actual, the doer, is not affected by the karma. That is how he sees. The action, the doer and the action, isn't it? Action is the karma. Doer is the karta. Doer is the karta, action is the karma. Normally we will always connect with the action and the doer together. Realized soul, he will only look at the doer, never the action. Action has, because they are two separate things. But at the same time, he will give more attention to the doer than to the action. And he also knows that action is carried out by the modes of nature. Modes of nature. Let's understand that verse a little bit more. Here you see here that the drashtava and drishyam, two things, drashtava and drishyam. Drashtava is the person who is the doer, is the drashta. Drishyam, everything in this world is drikka drishyam. Drikka or drashtava, it's one and the same thing. So drikka and drishyam is in everything. For example, this drashta or the drikka is always Sakshi. Is always Sakshi. Drishyam or the action is done by the Prakriti, modes of nature. Actually, in every karma, we are only a witness in reality. And you can, if you carefully look at many things in this world, you will think that I did this, I did that. Actually, you haven't done anything. The modes of nature has done it, and you happen to be there in that. That's all it is. It's not that you have done it. Of course, you can't say this in the court, that modes of nature has done it, I have nothing to do with it, they are not going to accept that. Court is ajnanam. Court is based on court, law book and all is ajnanam. It is not based on shastram. It is for the society to function. They have created certain rule and they are, instead of studying all the law books, if you study Bhagavad Gita, it will do something beneficial. But whatever it is, the point is, what Krishna says here is that drikka brahmam, drishyam is the what we call as this drishyam is what is prakriti. Drishyam is prakriti. So you will see there is a verse about that. He says drik drishyam, drik drishyav dau padarthausta paraspala vilakshanau drikka brahmam drishyam maya. Drishyam is maya, drik is brahmam. Drik is our soul, is brahmam. Drishyam is maya, sarva vedanta dindima. It's a book in the Brahma Jnanavali, Acharya Swami mentions this. Drik drishyav dvav padarthav smaksta paraspara vilakshanav drik brahmam drishyam mayeti sarva vedanta dindima. What it says here is there are two things, brahmam and drikka and drishyam. Drikka and drishyam. And their symptoms are opposite. Drikka is brahmam, drishyam is maya. And this is the important subject in all Vedanta, he says. All Vedanta. So, so here he mentions that, for example, person who is seeing and the object what is seeing. Two things, isn't it? Drikka and drishyam. I am seeing the mic is the object. Mic is the object. So there is two there. one, first thing is me, and the second thing is the form I am seeing. The form I am seeing. Similarly, I exist and the world exists, which I am seeing, the world. So, world is namarupam, isn't it? Name and different forms. That is what this world is all about. So, how do I see the world? I see the world through my eyes. Through my eyes. So, when I see the world through my eyes, I is the drik and world is drishyam. Yeah? When I see the world, I is the drik and the world is drishyam. And how do I know I have the eye? With the mind. Isn't it? Mind tells me I got the eye. When I see that I have got the eye, when I realize it through the mind, mind becomes the drik and I become the drishyam. That is how it is, that relationship. First the world is drishyam. My eye is drik. When I know I have got this eye, and I know about the existence of the eye from my mind, as soon as I go to the mind, mind becomes drik, I becomes drishyam. I becomes drishyam. Because it's the mind that comes through the eye to the world. Through the world, isn't it? So at that time, mind becomes drik and I become drishyam. I become drishyam. So that is the important thing. Krishna is saying here that that is this drik drishyam, Krishna is saying here. And there, So, then, how do I get to know about my mind? I get to know about the mind through my intelligence. Is it not? So intelligence, it is through intelligence I get to know about my mind, that existence of the mind. That intelligence tells me that I have a thing called mind. And I experience the mind through intelligence. Intelligence experiences the mind, isn't it? Like the mind experiences the eye, intelligence experiences the mind. Intelligence experiences the mind. So, in other words, intelligence controls the mind to some extent. So, at that time what happens? Intelligence becomes the drik and mind becomes the drishyam. Mind becomes the drishyam. So, so similarly, intelligence exists. How do I know? Because of the presence of the soul, Atma inside. So that is why in the Bhagavad Gita you will see that verse. Indriyani pararahu, indriyebhya parammana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastusa. 342 number. In future I will always mention the chapter and verse. So, indriyani pararahu, indriyebhya parammana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastusa. I don't know how we have understood that verse. This is how you have to understand, based on this drigdrishyam. Drigdrishyam. You see, there it says, more than the sense objects is the senses. And mind is higher to senses. Intelligence is higher than the senses. And soul is sense, even higher than the intellect, isn't it? Indriyani pararahu indriyebhya parammana, manasastu parabuddhe yobuddhe paratastusa. That verse. How do you understand that verse? This is how you understand. That you have to know that sense objects are there, mind is there, eye is there. Eye is the drik, sense objects is the drishyam. Drishyam. So therefore, drik is more important than the drishyam. That's the important first thing. Secondly, the mind becomes drishyam, intelligence becomes drik. So therefore, intelligence is superior to the mind. Then, superior to the intelligence is atma, soul. So soul becomes the drik, intelligence becomes drishyam. So the same thing can be drik or drishyam, depending on from where you look at. Where you look at. So that's the point. So here, you will see Krishna is saying here, That verse is also coming from this. This is Upanishad thing it is. And Krishna has put that in the Bhagavad Gita. In that way. So, Rupam, Drishyam, Lochanam, Drik. Form is Drishyam. Eyes are Drik. Isn't it? So, there is one thing who is a Drik which sees everything. Isn't it? And that is difficult. He is the one inside. One who is seeing everything. Drishya vairidam chittam atmana chitva darshanam tattva darshanam. Upadesha Saram says this. Drishya vairidam chittam atmana chitva darshanam tattva darshanam. So, if you leave the drishyam, that means the object, and if chitta darshanam, tattva darshanam, chitva darshanam. In other words, chitva darshanam, atma darshanam. Once you have come out of the drishyam and chitva darshanam, that means chit shakti inside. If seeing that chit inside is atma darshanam. So always seeing the drik is atma darshanam. Drishyam is not atma darshanam. So there is a famous book, Drik Drishya Vivegam. Drik is always important, drishyam is not important in the. For scientists, drishyam is important. For Vedantam, drik is important. Because drik is important, if you follow through the drik, you will reach the truth. With drishyam, you won't get to the truth. This is the principle. This is the principle. So, self-realization means what? Self-realization means that you can never know the self. You can never know the self. Because If you separate yourself from the self and you cannot look at the self, that's not possible. You are the self. You are the self. So in other words, to be situated as yourself is self-realization. To be situated as yourself is self-realization. So, so to be situated yourself means what? What does that mean? When will you be situated as yourself? When you have no chittavritti inside. If you have no chittavritti inside, that is what Patanjali says also in the Yoga Sutram. Yada drashtirube surube avasthanam. Yada drashtirube surube avasthanam. In other words, when there is no chittavritti, if there is chittavritti, the self will take the form of chittavritti and will stay. For example, when there is chittavritti inside you, for example, that you have this body, gross body now, isn't it? And that thought that I am this body is a chittavritti inside me. And that is why I am staying in this body. You see that? If I am thinking, that is what is called identification with the body, isn't it? So, self is such a thing with whom it identifies, accordingly he will take that form. If I identify with the body, I am the body. If I identify with spirit, I am spirit. I am not the body. So, depending on the identification, it happens. That is what Patanjali says there. He says, Yada drashtirube surube avasthanam. He says that if you have chittavritti, that chittavritti's form you will take, because that is when you are in the platform of the mind. If you have a lot of chittavritti going through, you will be that chittavritti at that time, not the body. Chittavritti you will be. But when there is no chittavritti, normally what happens is you start thinking about the body then. So either you identify with the body, or you identify with the mind, or you identify with the Alma, self. And there you can't stay separately from Alma and look at Alma. No, you are Alma. So Alma's nature is like that. So when I get anger, I become, when I get desires inside, I become a lusty person or man with desires. When I get anger, I become anger. I become the anger. When I get envy, I become that envy, isn't it? So this different, based on different emotions, which are all vikaram, isn't it? Vikaram is a vritti. It's a vritti. In Shastram they call it as vritti. Chittavritti. It is a chittavritti it is. Asuya, krodham, kamam, lobham. These are all chittavritti. So vritti sarupyam it is called. Vritti sarupyam means, based on the particular vritti what you have, you identify with it. That is called vritti sarupyam. So when vritti sarupyam happens, whether it is anger, greed, lust, envy or whatever it is, Patanjali says here, identification with the thoughts or the emotions, he says, when there is no emotions, no thoughts, only self remains. Only self remains. That is Ashtanga Yoga. What it does is, Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. You will see Prabhupada has quoted that from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. That's quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. So Chittavritti Nirodham is Yoga. Is Yoga. And that applies to not only Ashtanga Yoga, whether it comes to Bhakti Yoga or to Jnana Yoga, all applies. It doesn't change. It has to be the same. So the vritti sarupyam, when that stops, vritti sarupyam means identification with the emotion or thought, what is coming. Normally that is what happens to us. Suppose you have no thought wave, then what happens? Even the body comes into the us in the form of a thought wave. Is it not? See how the body comes in? It comes as a thought wave in us. Body creates a thought wave. Oh, I've got my problem with my eyes. That's the thought wave in me. I've got my problems with my legs. It's a thought wave in me. Headache, thought wave in me. So everything comes as a thought wave, as a chittavritti inside. Similarly, when I get angry, I leave everything and I become the anger. The self becomes the anger. That is called vritti sarupyam. Vritti sarupyam means this identifying with the particular emotion that comes through the as a thought wave. That's called chitta vritti sarupyam, they call it. And Krishna, here Patanjali's words, it is used that vritti sarupyam, identification with thoughts and emotions. When there are no emotions, no thoughts, no emotions, no thoughts, which is never happens, isn't it? It's always something. Then if it is no thoughts or emotions, only the self remains. So, vastasthiti, and that is called in the Upanishads also, this is the same word, vastasthiti. Vastasthiti means self in its pure form, pure consciousness in other words. And and that is what is self-realization. That's what is self-realization. What will be the experience at that time? It is not based on emotions anymore. Not based on emotions anymore. Words cannot express that, and thoughts cannot express that. And sometimes we think that Jnana Yoga means that it is based on intelligence. And Bhakti Yoga means based, this is our misunderstanding. We think like this. Jnana Yoga is all based on intelligence. And Bhakti Yoga is all the ecstasy I am feeling in my mind. For example, I sing, dance, eat prasadam, I feel happy. And I start thinking, I am doing fantastic bhakti. That's misunderstanding. That is misunderstanding. That is what Krishna is saying here. That we think like this. Jnana Yoga is all based in the intelligence. Bhakti Yoga is all emotions, what I experience in my mind. These emotions and these thoughts, they are all material. They are all material. Chit Shakti is not vikaram, emotions. And Chit Shakti is not vicharam, thought wave. It is neither vikaram nor vicharam. That is the first thing to know. See, often we misunderstand, isn't it? We wrongly take it. We say, oh, the devotees are feeling ecstatic after a nice kirtan or a nice bhajan. And sometimes you can see that in the kirtan mela, you can observe this. They are trying very hard to become very bhakti conscious. Very devotee, want to become devotees. So they close their eyes and they are thinking, and they are saying, oh, you should be very much focused on the holy name and chant like this, chant like that. You can do all that, but still it remains as an activity of the mind. It is still, and it will go as soon as you pull out, it's gone. As soon as you come out of the kirtan hall, with a lot of effort, you have tried and you have managed to hold on to that for a short period of time. But the moment you walk out of the hall, there is no difference between that person and me or you or anybody. We are all same there. That's not spiritual. That's what I'm saying. Spirituality is something, once it has come, it cannot leave you anymore. Only then it is spiritual. If it is coming and going, it is under modes of nature. That's the important thing to know. So, therefore, vigaram, these emotions, what we manifest, while sometimes a few nice devotees, they get together, they had fantastic prasadam, a big feast. After that, they thought they need some good exercise. So they decide to have a good kirtan and a dance after that to get rid of all the prasadam that has gone in. To digest somewhere, isn't it? And youth also, plenty of energy in the body. So they felt that they have to dance. And in the dance, they started feeling, because of the health in the body and the strength of the body, and good time, dancing, enjoying. And you start thinking that, oh, I'm feeling fantastic ecstasy. Devotion, bhakti and all that. You're not feeling any bhakti. Actually, all what's happening is that you have identified with that emotion of happiness and you started feeling that you are feeling ecstatic bhakti inside, falsely identified with that. Because bhakti, if it is real bhakti, it cannot go. It cannot go. If it is going, coming and going means it's not spiritual. Coming and going is not spiritual nature. Coming and going is modes of nature. This we must be clear. Because if it's coming and going, it cannot be bhakti. Nature, the soul's nature is, bhakti is the anandam nature of the soul. Isn't it? Satta, chitta, anandam. The chitta is the jnanam. Anandam is the bhakti. Satta is the eternity. And this satta, chitta, anandam, if it is coming from the soul, it is permanent. It cannot go. So there you have to be a little bit careful not to get carried away by that understanding. But initially when you come to spiritual life, you will think like this. when you join first time, first few months or years when you are in the group of, if you are young and you have a lot of energy to dance and chant and preach and all that, all that powerful mood, aggressive mood, when you have that, you will say, oh Prabhu, it is very ecstatic. I was feeling on the top, you know, it's so blissful, Krishna consciousness. No, Krishna consciousness is blissful, but what you experience is not really Krishna consciousness. It's temporarily in the Sattugunam you felt some happiness. That's what it is. That's what it is. Real Krishna consciousness, if it comes, it will never go. How can it go? How can Krishna consciousness go after coming? Is it such a cheap thing, Krishna consciousness? No. Krishna consciousness, if it comes, it will never leave. That is the power of Krishna consciousness, because it's coming from the soul, which is eternal, chitta, satya chitta, anandam it is. That chitta is the, chit potency is the jnanam, and anandam potency is the bhakti. It can never leave a person. So therefore, we have to be careful about this. Vikaram, vicharam, both of them are laukikam. It is material. Chit anubhavam, chidanubhavam, or chit shakti, that is not vikaram, it's not vicharam, that is nishchalam, it is shandi, it is. That is why you will see, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, shandi is the nature of the soul. Shandi is the nature of the soul. Nishchalam means, not the way we think about the jadam level, jada nishchaya, jada nishchalada, nishchalada in the jadam level. So this shandhi, what Krishna is talking about, is not purely that nishchalada inside, because that knowledge inside of a person, from that knowledge and that bliss inside, there is a power that comes from there, and that is difficult to experience it in our present state, and that is a perfection. And in the Upanishads, the word they use is Hridambara Prajna, they call it Hridambara Prajna. Patanjali uses the same word from the Upanishads in the Yoga Sutram also. Hridambara Prajna, they call it, and that is what it is. So, it's 5 o'clock, we'll have a short break there. Cheto Darpanamarjanam Bhavamaha Navagni Nirvavanam Shreyakkaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidhyavadhu Jeevanam आनंदं बुद्धिवर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मसुभनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नाम्ना महारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिताने निदास्मरणेन काल एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवान् ममावि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिदानुरागाः तृणानविशुनीचेन तरोरपि सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न जनम न सुंदरीं कविदां भा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाद् भक्तिरहे दुहित्वये अयि नन्दतनुज किंकरं पतितां मम शमे भवाम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्कज स्थित धूली सदृशं विचिन्तयाम नयनं कलद शोधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगेर्जितं कदावभू तवन्नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिनं शून्यायिनं जगत् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य मा पादरदां विनष्टो मां अदर्शनमर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधाधुलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा When Krishna says about shandi, first thing to know that vigaram vijaram is not spiritual. Vigaram vijaram is not spiritual. Vigaram vijaram, vikaram is the emotions of the mind. Vicharam is the thought waves that is going through our intelligence. That's thought waves, that's acting through the intelligence. And spiritual is Shandi. Spiritual is Shandi. And what is that Shandi? That Shandi is not exactly the Shandi how we understand. Peace of mind is the word they translate in English, isn't it? Shandi is peace of mind. That is not actually Shandi. Shandi in Sanskrit, not only Sanskrit, in Shastram, is the right understanding is Hridambara Prajna. Hridambara Prajna means, Patanjali also uses the word, Upanishads also uses the same word. In that Shandi, you are yourself as you are. For example, keeping a material body and intelligence and senses, there cannot be this Shandi what Krishna is talking about. You have to come out of this. From the body, freedom from the body, mind, intelligence is necessary to have this Shandi what Krishna is talking about. You see that? It is not that normally if I say Shandi, 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 people will think, oh, I have some peace of mind. That is Shandi. How you take it like that, isn't it? That's how we see. Normally Shandi means peace of mind, not disturbed, peaceful state. That is Shandi. But Shandi in spiritual life is not that Shandi. What it means is Hridambara Prajna. Patanjali uses Hridambara Prajna. Upanishads also uses the same word. So in this Shandi, what's happening is that you are as you are in your pure consciousness. In your pure consciousness. And that is why Patanjali mentions there Drashtava. Drashta is situated within himself. So in other words, Drashta will come out of Drishyam. He has to come out of Drishyam. Normally, Drashta goes and falls into Drishyam, isn't it? Is it not? Suppose you are seeing some object. What happens? The object gets in, inside us. Then that means you have fallen into the object. You are not able to separate yourself from the object. You have fallen into the object. Object has fallen inside you and took control of you. That means you have identified with the object in some way or the other. So with everything it is like that. Then so similarly, Drashtava cannot fall into Drishyam. Drashtava has to stay out of Drishyam. I don't know whether you are getting the point. That Drashtava means Drikar. Drik cannot fall into Drishyam. Not that he should not see Drishyam, but Drishyam should not affect Drikar. Drishyam should not affect Drishyam. Drishyam should not affect Drikar. For example, only when the Drashtava is situated in the self, Drishyam will not affect him. Drishyam will not affect him. For example, when you watch some films or movies, you fall into the movie, isn't it? You get absorbed in the movie. That means you identify with the movie in some way. Easily it will happen. Suppose the movie is very emotional. And naturally, if you are an emotional person, majority of us are, is it not? In some way, you will take some side in the movie with somebody. You will consider somebody is right and somebody is wrong in the movie, who is acting. Although movie is not real, it's only a movie at the end. But still, very easily, you will get pulled into the movie and you'll identify them, isn't it? So, and even after the movie is over, still it hasn't gone away from inside. It is still inside you. So, that is the problem with all the drishyam. Problem with all the drishyam. Seeing a movie, there is no harm. But the problem is that movie will get inside and it will not leave easily. That is the problem. So, just like when you see the movie, you fall into the movie. And after the movie is over, you will start thinking about, you may have allowed the hero or the villain or the heroine to get inside you. Somehow or the other. And you start identifying with them in some way or them. And some identification will happen. It's not only in the film industry, this happens in the sports also. You may have seen. If David Beckham keeps his hair in this way or like that, everybody does follows David Beckham. Isn't it? Why is it like that? This is that the identification business. How strong it is in every one of us. Of course, Everybody has their own different heroes in this world, isn't it? Young people, they go after sportsmen, film stars or celebrities and things like that, isn't it? So you can see this, that unconsciously it happens. Nobody tells them to do it, but they do it on their own, isn't it? So according to the cinema or film, what they have seen, their hairstyle, their dress, like you can see, somebody identifies with one football club, they'll go and buy that shirt, they want to wear that, they'll put the name of some football player at the back. You can see all this all the time. So that tendency is there in everyone. And this is why in temples also have 40 years of devotion t-shirt, you want to identify with that. So this identification is very difficult to get out from that. See how weak we are in our resolve. How the tendency inside us to identify with something is very strong. And particularly it's strong in spiritual life, this identification thing. So, and it is a spiritual disease, this identification business. So what is that identification with the drishya padartham? Drikka drishyam. To remain as drik is spiritual. To identify with drishya padartham is material. You have seen today, you can see the t-shirts now with all sorts of things. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. lot of things like that. It is not only in ISKCON, it's in all other institutions also. They know that if you make some t-shirts, it will sell, you make some money out of the t-shirts. Everybody does that, whether you go to this mission or that mission, they all have their own t-shirts. Like football clubs have got their own t-shirts and they market all that. It's another income for them, isn't it? So, or it's given as a gift sometimes. So it's a spiritual disease, and you can see that if an acharya comes and if he has some charisma and he dresses up in a particular way, everybody else starts dressing up like the same way. They start putting signature in the same way, like the acharya has done. They start speaking like the same way, like the acharya has spoken. So all these things, so whatever dress he has put on, they will also put on, they will dress up in the same way. So this imitation tendency is in us, in all of us. So as soon as you see them, you want to bring them inside us. We want to take them inside us. That is drishyam. That form is drishya padartham it is. What you see with your eyes, you want to get that inside. So when they are standing outside, without their knowledge, they will get inside us. Or without their knowledge, they will go inside and we start identifying with them in us. We start thinking that we are that. We are that. You know in Bhagavatam how this spiritual disease Vedavyasa has spoken? He also puts it to another story. Like Rukmini Sandesham, Paundraga Vasudev's story is this. This disease, spiritual disease. Paundraga Vasudev's story is famous, isn't it? And he mentions there that in Srimad Bhagavatam he says, like Krishna, he took a club, a disc, a lotus flower, club, everything, and painted the whole body bluish color to look like Krishna. Because what happened to him was this, that he didn't know anything. He was a little daft. But all his followers made him happen like that. So, so there, what happened to Paundraga Vasudeva was, when Rukmini's marriage was over, that he went for the marriage and his mood was gone. His mood has gone after the marriage. Mood was this. This Yadava lad, Krishna, he's a Yadava boy, as far as they are Kshatriyas, isn't it? Who all these Jarasandha, Shishubala, Dandavakra and Founder Vasudev and all, they're all Kshatriyas. They were having a very hard time. They couldn't find any girls to marry. Everyone, while Krishna was going and marrying them, something used to happen and Krishna used to marry them and take them away. So all of them got together and they made a resolution saying that we can't allow this to happen. He's not even a Kshatriya boy. He is a Yadava boy. He comes and does this. And he has stolen Rukmini also. And Rukmini's marriage, they all went. So they were saying that Kshatriya's ego. They were talking to each other. What's the point in talking about us, calling ourselves as Kshatriyas? This is how it started. What's the point in calling ourselves as Kshatriyas? And the king, the ruling is not proper. We are not doing our duty. And so the ministers all got together. This Pandavas, these ministers, they all got together. And how to boost his... He was in a very... Pandraga Vasudev, he was in a very bad mood. So how to get his mood better? They thought about this. So somebody told them that this Krishna is... Krishna who is now in Dwaraka, he is in the Pancharatri Vidhi. He is mentioned as Vasudeva. The people say that he is Vasudeva who is mentioned in the Pancharatri Vidhi. And our Vasudeva is not that Vasudeva. Instead, Krishna is the Vasudeva mentioned in the Pancharatri Vidhi. So because people are saying, everyone is saying that Krishna in Dwaraka is the Vasudeva in the Pancharatri Vidhi. Therefore, that is why that Krishna has got so much courage. But actually, he is not the one who is mentioned in the Pancharatri Vidhi. It's you who is mentioned in the Pancharatri Vidhi. He is this. The people didn't go, the ministers didn't go and tell Vasudeva. Instead, they started going and telling all the people in the kingdom. So those people, when they heard, when the ministers have said this, they started coming to the king, Vasudeva, and telling him, you are the real Vasudeva, not that Krishna in Dwaraka. This is how it started. So in that way, finally what happened was, it became a problem. So they said to this Vasudeva, that look, you have to go and tell that Krishna to surrender. Because he is acting as Vasudeva. Really, you are the Vasudeva who is mentioned in the Pancharatri Vidhi. That is how they mentioned that. Other one is an imitation one. Like this, we have to talk to him. And when a lot of people in the kingdom started saying this to our Vasudeva, he also started thinking, I am that Vasudeva. I must be the Vasudeva, not the other one. So when he started believing this, and he decided one day, many, many people in the kingdom came to him with fruits, milk, incense, everything to worship this Vasudeva. So he fell into that trap. That's what happens if you start glorifying people without any thing. They will fall, finally they will fall into that trap. There's nothing you can do about it. So we have to be so careful with all that. Vasudevas is the best example. So he says to him, so he started thinking, so many people cannot say. Everybody is saying like this, so it cannot be wrong. Just like we say, like that is it. Because so many people are doing it, so it must be right. So they started thinking the same thing. So what he did was, he started dressing up like Krishna. He got dressed up. Only thing what was finding it difficult to get was this Sudarshana disc. That wasn't available. Everything else, you can get a club, you can get a lotus flower, you can get a conch shell. But the Sudarshana disc was the most difficult thing. So finally they decided to get some steel pot or something. And they made it, painted it like a Sudarshana disc and handed over to him, this will do the job, keep it with you. Like that. So then again this question came up. This cowherd boy who is in Dwaraka, who has done all this, created all this problem for us, and who claims himself as Vasudeva, he has got this Sudarshana disc with him, because it is with that he killed Shishuvala, isn't it? So I must get that Sudarshana disc from him and other things and ask him to surrender with that. And he said that he should return it back to me. It's mine. That Sudarshana disc is mine. He should return it back to me. Say to him. So he sent a message to Krishna with that. And it is then that Krishna says, yes, when the message came to Dwaraka, Krishna laughed. Isn't it? First Krishna laughed and then he said that, look, send the message back. The messenger went back to Vasudeva and told him, Krishna is coming with the disc to hand it over to you. You just have to wait a few days, he'll be here, he said. So Krishna came back, he said, first when he arrived, when he came to visit Vasudeva, Krishna says, that please take the first this club, lotus flower and the conscience. Then I'll hand over the disc to you, he said. And then finally when the disc was sent, Vasudeva was finished with that. So why did Vedavyasa Maharshi say this in the Bhagavatam? What was the reason to say this? Because Vedavyas knows this will happen to all. So everything we will take and imitate. Imitation tendency is very strong in us. So wherever there is imitation, there is no creativity. There's only imitation there, isn't it? There's no originality. This is what has happened to our first 11 gurus also, that they imitated. If you imitate, it will not work in spiritual life particularly. It cannot work. So, because there is no originality in them. And the Mahalpas, all the great Mahalpas, their beauty is that you won't find any imitation in them. They won't imitate. They have originality in them. In all great Mahalpas, if you look at them, you will see they will not imitate, they will be original in them. They will not imitate anybody because they will be completely original. So, this originality comes. When does originality come? Originality comes when your mind goes away completely. In spiritual life it is like that. When you are completely, the mind is destroyed, then it is original. Whatever he does is original. There will not be any more imitation. Imitation is when you have a mind inside. When you have a mind inside. So they will remain as they are. They will not imitate anybody. And whichever way they have come up in spiritual life, that will be their identity. They will not have to imitate anybody. But there won't be an imitation. And when they see something outside, they will not start doing that. And they will not, all this is to become something else, to start following something like that and start imitating. This is all vrittisarupyam. It is vrittisarupyam. And that is what Patanjali mentions in the Yoga Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi in Bhagavatam, he has put it in this story. That's all it is. Principle, it is the same. What Patanjali has called it as vrittisarupyam in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put that in the Bhagavatam through the story of Pandrava Vasudeva story. That's all it is. Principle is more important. Why it has happened like that. So, this vrittisarupyam, Patanjali also says this, is the cause of bondage. It's the cause of bondage. One in whom there is no vrittisarupyam, this identification with the vritti, for he is always situated in the self. He is situated in his original state, isn't he? He is not situated in the prakriti. It is in the prakriti this happens. He is not situated in the prakriti, he is situated in the surupam. He is situated in the surupam. He is situated in the surupam. He is not situated in the prakriti. This is the principle. When you are situated in the prakriti, imitation will happen. When you are situated in the Swarupam, imitation won't happen. You cannot imitate that because there is no mind to imitate. There's no mind to imitate. Even in the film industry, also this happens. Some people, in India it's quite common. They take the role of Ramachandra. For example, there was a young man who was acting as Ramachandra in Ramanand Sagar's Ramayanam. And later on he felt that he was Ramachandra. Because he has acted the whole serial as Ramachandra. And he started feeling that he was Ramachandra. And similarly in politics also, there are some politicians who gone through this experience. Because they realized that. And they made it as a success in politics by acting in that particular actor. So if you act like this, you'll become like that after a while. Many people have got that. And this disease is maximum in the spiritual field. It is this disease, maximum in the spiritual field. So, without our knowledge, this incident happened. It can happen to a very large level. This will happen without our knowledge. And so the reason for that is, although externally we are posing ourselves as materialistic to live in this world, we have to act like materialists, isn't it? But our attachment really is for spiritual life, everybody in this world. And only due to sense, uncontrolled senses, sometimes people fall into sense enjoyment. But strictly speaking, although we pose ourselves as materialists, inside there is a deep down desire for self-knowledge, knowledge of the self and self-realization in everyone. You can't deny that. No matter how hard you try to wipe it out and show other things. So that is why we have to act like this. We are acting like this. That whenever you act, you can see, you will act that one where you have real attachment. Where you have real attachment. Because for any jiva, conditioned soul, spiritual life is his adhyalpa mandalam, is his swarupam, isn't it? Because he knows that this bodily identity and bodily presentation, all these things, is artificial. We know that this is not our, once you have come to spiritual life and you become a little bit spiritually conscious, then naturally to go with the body and to present, identify with the body is difficult. So what happens then is, due to that attachment to the spiritual reality, in your material life also you will take up the dress of that spiritual identity what you have been attached to. That is what you find. That's why in spiritual field many people dress up like sometimes you want to dress up like a turban. You will see all these things, people doing various things. And the kind of particular type of silks, saffron clothes for the dhoti, and types of buttons, types of watch they wear. I think if you carefully observe, you will see there's a strong tendency for imitations. So therefore, in adhyalpam, in spiritual field also, this acting tendency is very powerful. And that is why what you find in many instances in spiritual life, or what happens, Krishna is saying, that this one important thing, coming to this incident, what Krishna says here, that nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtanu pasyati. Try to analyze that verse based on this drishyam basis. Only then it will make sense. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtanu pasyati gunebhya param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. When you see that there is nothing beyond these modes of nature in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. So, Krishna is saying that this gunebhya kartaram, gunam is doing everything, isn't it? That is what the verse is saying. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram, gunam is doing everything. And yada drashtanu pasyati, gunebhyascha param veti, malbhavam sodhi gacchati. When you start seeing, for example, when you start seeing gunam is doing everything, karta, gunam is doing everything, the person behind that is different. So, nanyam kaya karana vishayagaram payana debhyo gunebhya kartaram anyam yada drashta vidvan san na anupashari guna eva sarva avastaha sarva karmanam kartaraha iti evam pashari gunebhyascha param gunavyabara sakshi bhudam veti malbhavam mama bhavam sadrashta adigachari. Means, body, senses, sense objects, all these three things, body, senses, and the sense objects. These three things is affected by the modes of nature, isn't it? Is affected by the modes of nature. So, the one who does all these things is the modes of nature. You see? Modes of nature. Or in other words, real karta is modes of nature. That is the first thing. Real karta is the modes of nature. So, nanyam, he says, body, senses and sense objects. From these three things, which is influenced by the modes of nature, separated from this, if you see anyone who doesn't do anything, he is in knowledge. Let me explain that. Modes of nature is doing everything. But when he sees a person that he is not doing, the modes of nature is working through him. Modes of nature is working through him. And all karma is not done by him, but rather by the modes of nature. When one is seeing like that, Krishna is saying here, he is transcended the three modes of material nature. This is what will happen. Arjuna asking this question, that how do you know somebody has transcended the modes of nature? This is the question. Because from now I mentioned with the last nanyam gunebhya kartaram, Krishna will say this to Arjuna, and from this verse Arjuna will ask questions based on this verse. When the remaining verses are like that, see, Krishna is saying here, nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti mal bhavam sodhi gacchati. So that means when karma is happening in this world, lot of karma is going on here, isn't it? A person who is realized, he will see the karma as not karma, he will see that the karma is carried on by the modes of nature. And he will not see another person who is executing the karma. He will not see a third person who is executing the karma. Who is separate from the karma. Who is separate from the guna. From the three modes of nature. That is what he is saying here. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. When karma is going on in this world, isn't it? A lot of karma is going on. A lot of karma is happening through different bodies in this world. So, a realized soul, when he sees, he is seeing that the modes of nature is doing the work. He is not doing the work. And when that separation has happened very clearly inside, Krishna says, gunebhyascha param veti. He has transcended the three modes. Mal bhavam sodhi gacchati. He has become like me. Krishna is like that. Isn't it? That is why Krishna can do anything, because there is no modes of nature in Krishna. When, because there is no modes of nature, there is no bondage in Krishna. We have got modes of nature, because modes of nature binds you. In Krishna there is no modes of nature. That is why while killing people in the soldiers in the battlefield, in the Kurukshetra, he is smiling. While dancing with the gopis, Krishna is smiling. While stealing all the princesses from the different palaces, Krishna is smiling. There is never any lamentation or any kind of feeling of any kind of feeling sorry about anything. You never see Krishna saying sorry about that. He never says. He doesn't have to say. You have to say sorry about that is all in the modes of nature. Krishna's nature is such that it is beyond the sorry about that nature. So that's what it is. Gune nanyam gunebhya kartaram. When you are under the three modes of material nature, you need all these things. You got to say because you are in the modes of nature. That's what it is. Yada drashtanu pashyati. That is why Krishna is saying malbhavam sodhi gacchati. Gunebhyascha param veti. Once you have transcended the three modes of nature, then malbhavam sodhi gacchati. Krishna is saying you will come to my state. You will be in my state. Krishna state, in other words. You will become like that. That's how you have to understand. Otherwise, you will start thinking these three modes of nature is like a sort of a shell or something which is going to break and fall away one day from the body. It's not like that. The three modes of material nature is like this, that it is all had to happen inside. That this realization, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, especially that Pragade Kriyamanani Kunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahangara Vimudalpa Kartaham Iti Manyade. That verse there in the 4th or 5th chapter where Krishna has spoken that, the same verse Krishna is saying in a different way here. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtani pashyati gunebhyascha maram veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. That's all it is. There also the point is the same thing, that Prakriti is doing everything. But we have to come to that state. Prakriti is doing everything. How much do we realize Prakriti is doing everything? Hardly anything is saying. For us, the person is doing it. He has done that, we will say. He is responsible for that. He should be punished. That's what we say. We say, isn't it? Every time, everything we say, he is responsible. He should be taken to task. He should be executed. He should be murdered. He should be taken to the court. Because he has done that. Krishna is saying, no, he hasn't done that. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram. That is why in Krishna's case there was no problem. He had no difficulty in the war. He had no difficulty with the gopis. He had no difficulty in any situation. Krishna was beyond the three modes, operating beyond the three modes. Very subtle things it is, but it is important. Nanyam karya karana vishayagaram parinadebhyo gunebhya kartaram anyam yada drashta vidwan san na anupashyati. Guna eva sarva avastha sarva karmana kartaram iti evam pashyati. That means sarva avastha sarva karanam sarva karmana. In all situations, all activities is like that for Krishna. One who has transcended the three modes of nature, for him, all situations, all activities is outside the three modes of nature. Kartaram iti evam pashyati. That he is saying, I am not the doer. Prakriti is doing it. Gunabhyascha param gunavyabhara sakshibhudam veti malbhavam mamabhavam sadrashta adigachari. So, such a person, he becomes realized the truth and finally he comes to my state, Krishna says. Gunatitam. That is called Gunatitam. Gunatitam shreshtam, that bhavam, he gets to know and he comes to that state. Says Krishna there. Says Krishna there. So, so here you can see that in these verses, Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati. So, people in their mind, they feel different things about others. Sometimes you see someone dressed up in a different way, we start thinking, what's wrong with you? We will say, because he has not dressed up like me. So I start thinking, there's something wrong with him. And he is seeing me and he's saying, what's wrong with you? He said, so just by the dress alone or some other changes in the body or whatever it is, people start asking these questions, isn't it? So, and though, so this is something quite normal in this world. That is due to the power of that modes of nature. So similarly, even when we see Mahatmas, great personalities who are realized, but when we look at them, they are not looking like us. They are dressed in a different way. Their habits are different. They are not working. They are not going to office every day. And they are sitting somewhere quietly. And they have gone beyond the modes of nature, completely beyond the modes of nature. So sometimes they ask that, why you are like this? Then why don't you be like us? We ask them, why don't you be like us? What is the difference? They say, then they will tell you that your purpose is not this or that, but to be remain what you are actually, to come to that same state what you are. So therefore, anything what you identify with, except what you are, you will never be satisfied. Now we are dressed up in one way. We are thinking this, and I am this, and I am dressed up. Somebody else is dressed up in a different way, he is thinking something different. But all this is not what we are, isn't it? Our real identity is none of these things. So, and so long as you are identifying with anything else what you are not, you will never have that shanti inside. What Krishna is saying in that? Peace or shanti inside. So that is the law. That's the law. Shanti will only come, what Kridambara Prajna as they call it, will only come when you are in your original position what you are. Even male, female form is not our form. Body is not our form. The dress is not our form. Whatever position we accept in this world, husband, wife, that is not our position. All these are superimposed things in our original form. And therefore, that is why we are not stable in any of these situations. Either as a father, we are not happy. Mother, not happy. Father, brother, not happy. Sister, not happy. So many bodily relationships. In spite of all that, you don't feel settled anywhere. All grandfather, grandmother, so many forms we are taking all the time, isn't it? But in spite of all that, you are not feeling anywhere settled. Why? Because you are not in your real state, your identity. This is the reason. Similarly, we are dressing up, changing the passport, changing the nationality, so many things we are doing it. But in nowhere you find any fulfillment, perfection in anything. Reason is this, what Krishna is saying here is this, that you are always going after the drishyam, not seeing the drikka. When you are under the effect of drishyam, which means you are under the effect of the three modes of material nature, it will happen in the same way. So, when the mind withdraws from the drishyam and gets absorbed in the drikka, absorbed in the drikka, that is called swastham. That's called swastham. Swastham, in order to become swastham, you have to become situated in the swam. Swam means yourself, as you are, within oneself. So, when you are situated in the swam, in yourself, it is called the swastvam. And Krishna says here, when you are situated in the shavam, that is body. If you are situated in the shivam, atma, that is in the swastvam. And so, Krishna says here, nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchari. If you look at that verse carefully, you can see. So, in a person, there will be all kinds of thoughts, thought waves, emotions, everything will be there. But, if they are not identifying with the thought waves and the emotions, and if you are not feeling identification as I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, and start realizing that all this is the product of the modes of nature. Guna guneshu vartande. Krishna says there, isn't it? That is the next verse, I think he says. Later on you come. Gune bhyascha paramveti. Gune bhyascha paramveti. Gunam guna guneshu vartande. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, somewhere you will see. I don't know which chapter it is. Guna guneshu vartande, Krishna says. Gunam is working with the Gunavishaya. Gunavishaya means sense objects. Guna Guneshu Vartande, he says. Just like if you have a dog, you have tied down a dog inside the house. If another dog comes to the street, this dog will bark. Is it not? Our dog will bark when I see the dog from outside. Similarly, the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam inside us, when it sees the sense objects outside, it will immediately make contact. Immediately it will make contact. Suppose I have Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, whatever gunam I have, based on the gunam what I carry with me, or whatever gunam that is in me, that gunam will go and contact with the objects in the world. Objects in the world. And when it sees, depending on the gunam, I will see the object outside. For example, if I have sattugunam inside me, I will have attraction for bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, bhagavadam, bhagavad gita, sansangam, things like that. If I have rajogunam inside, attraction for work, enjoyment, and wandering around here, there, all this is my rajogunam that is, wants to make contact with that. If I have tamogunam in me, naturally, nidra, alasyam, what Krishna says there, laziness and sleepy nature, and totally against spiritual life, all those things will happen. So, so it is, the best comparison is this dog example. The dog is inside, another dog comes this way, the dog you are keeping at home will bark. Straight away it will bark. You don't have to go. Sometimes you observe that somebody is walking with one dog from here. Another person is coming from with another side with another dog. These two people, they don't know each other, but the dogs doesn't need any introduction. Have you noticed that? They will, without any introduction, they will defend each other, they will start talking. That must be their way of talking, I suppose, the way they talk to each other. Whereas these two men, they will stand separately, needs introduction to each other to talk to. The dogs doesn't need introduction, they can start talking straight away. So these three modes of nature is like that. He doesn't need introduction to the sense objects. He will go out and gets introduced himself to the sense objects. So that introduction depends on what modes is inside. If you have sattugunam, your introduction will be to salsangam, bhagavadam, bhagavad gita, Krishna consciousness, bhakti, jnanam, vairagya. If there is rajogunam inside, looking for rajasic activities. If it is tamogunam inside, laziness, sleepiness and all other things. So that's very simple to understand, isn't it? You see how the gunam works. That is what Krishna is saying there. Nanyam gunebhya karta. Gunam is doing everything. You are not doing anything. Your gunam is doing that. And that gunam, which is keeping us under her control, prakriti, Krishna is saying, very difficult to fight it out. Devi hyesha gunamai mamamaya durateya. And that is where, so that is where bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, all this is necessary for this reason. So here you can see. And what else? A realized soul, he knows that if someone is acting in a particular way, it is his modes that is working within him, in that person. And therefore, he knows very well that whatever that is happening, according proportionate to the gunam inside, in that person, he will make the contact. He will make the contact, proportionate to the gunam inside. Because this gunam proportions vary inside. It's not, sometimes sattugunam predominates. They vary all the time, isn't it? So only when there is sattugunam that you can absorb in spiritual life. Otherwise it's difficult. In rajogunam, if you absorb in spiritual life, you know what will happen. If in rajogunam, if you come to spiritual life, you will create trouble for everybody with your bhakti. With your bhakti, you will cause so much problem to others with all the rajogunam inside. And with tamogunam, if you come to bhakti, what will happen, spiritual life? You will make everybody a non-devotee with the power of that tamogunam what you carry with you. Even if somebody is trying to progress, you will make sure that he will come out of it. That is the power of that tamogunam. So proportionate to your power of the gunam in you, you will react into the world outside. You will react to the world outside. So, and that you can see. This example is very good. Why? Because the house owner, the owner of the house, he is sitting in his chair and is reading the newspaper. The dog is sitting there. Another dog, somebody else is walking in the street with another dog. The house owner of the house, he hasn't said anything, done anything. Without even asking permission, he starts barking, seeing the other dog going through the street. Similarly, these modes of nature. Doesn't ask us. Goes and does what it wants to do. It's like a dog inside, sitting there, ready to bark any time, looking for the other dog on the street, isn't it? So, what does this man has to do, who is sitting here, to keep quiet? He has to first tell his dog to keep quiet, and he will look at both dogs first. He will look at the other dog, which dog has come. He has to look at that dog which is going through the street. And then he has to look at his dog, which is barking from here, and that dog which is barking there. He has to make his dog first quiet. Only then he can do something about it. Isn't it? He has to keep his dog quiet. So, that's what he does. That is what is coming from these words Krishna is saying here. So, that sakshitvam has to happen. Sakshi, witness. Witness state has to happen. And when that comes, Krishna is saying here that he started observing the gunam, how the three modes of nature is working, and he will able to see the movement of the mind and the movement of the different sense objects, and you are separated from the sense objects as well as the movement of the mind. And that is what Krishna is saying, that word, you see. Yet gunebhyascha param veti means that. Gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhikachari. That means to remain aloof from the modes of nature as well as the karma. What's happening by the modes of nature? The karma, what is done by the modes of nature, and the modes of nature, to remain aloof from both. And to be remain as a witness. That is what is saying there. That case, malbhavam sodhigachari. Malbhavam sodhigachari. So, what at that time, in that situation, what is happening to him is that the movement of the modes of nature he is able to observe. He also is able to see the sense objects outside. So he says, na anyam gunebhyascha param veti, na anyam gunebhya kartaram, nam anyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtani pashyati. His state is like that. Na anyam gunebhya kartaram. Gunam is doing everything, and yada drashtani pashyati, he is just as drashtava, dukkha, purely as a witness or a sakshi. You can say all different words, one and the same thing. Sakshi, witness, drik, whatever you may say, it's one and the same thing. Don't get disturbed over the words. But what you have to understand, the concept behind it, the thought behind it is, Krishna is saying is, Naham gunebhya kartaram. Gunam is doing everything. And yada drishtani pashyari, he remains as a witness. Gunam is doing, work, karmam is happening. He is aloof from the karmam. He is aloof from the gunam. That way it is. So, remember I mentioned this Pakanar's famous story. He was a great personality, highly realized, but never studied any shastram. After realizations, because he happened to take birth in a family like that. But he was highly realized. What can you say? And he that is purva, due to previous life, that vasana has followed. Very easily he got, was realized himself. And this Pakanar, he was once very hungry. And he was walking in the street, somebody was selling fruits, a fruit vendor. He was selling fruits, you know, they had fruits all packed up, stored on, and he was pushing this trolley. They go from place to place and sell the fruits. So he was feeling very hungry and he saw the fruits. And he has no money to buy anything. So by chance, the man who was selling the fruits, he went away, leaving the trolley there with the fruits. For some nature's call or something like that, he went away. Pakanar thought first, I can't bear the hunger, he thought. He went and took some fruits and ate it happily. And seeing this, the man came. The man came seeing this, Pakanar eating the fruits. And he beat him up for stealing the fruits. Naturally, that will be the reaction, isn't it? So Pakanar says to him that, I have told him not to do it, but he did it, he says. So beat him more. This is the answer. This is what Krishna is saying here. Nanyam gudebhyam kartare yada drishtanya pashyari. In a story form, it is like that. These are real things what has happened with people. That body may do some things, hunger, all these things have come from mind and the body, isn't it? But Pakanar is saying to him, beat him, beat the body more, give him more. I've told him not to do it, but didn't listen. Went and took the fruits and ate it. What can I do? That was Pakanar's attitude. So beat him more, he said. So I've told him before, and give him a little bit more, he said. So in other words, when he starts seeing his mind, his desires, his body, everything separately from him at that time. He's seeing everything separately from him. Only then you can do that, say that, isn't it? Otherwise you can't say. Otherwise what will you do? You'll start fighting straight away, isn't it? So, that is what it is. Gunebhyascha param veti. Where is the gunam? Gunam is in the body. Gunam is in the mind. And gunam is coming out in the form of desires. So only if you are out of the gunam, three modes of nature, you can do it. Otherwise you can't do it. Is it not? That is what he said. Yada gunebhyascha param veti. Gunebhyascha param veti. Paramveti. So, to know that I am beyond the three modes of material nature, gunatitan. Krishna calls it as gunatitan. And gunam is working with gunam. Gunam works with gunam. Gunam works with gunam. So, gunam, guna guneshu vartande. I don't know where that...
It's 21. Verse 21.
Verse 21. Yeah. Guna guneshu vartande. Okay.
28,
is it? No, see, the question is asking that 21. 21? 21. 328. Okay. So, what does the word say?
320.
Tattuvitu Mahabhava. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, there you can see Tattuvitu Mahabhava Guna Karma Vibhagayoho. Guna Guneshu Vartandi Idimatvana Sajjade. Idimatvana Sajjade. One who is knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O Mighty Arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. Work for fruitive results. So here, that guna guneshu vartande, guna guneshu vartande means that gunam is working with gunam. Gunam is working with gunam. Being engaged in gunam. Gunam, senses, of course, guna guneshu vartande idimatvana sajjane. Modes of nature is present in the body, in the mind, not only in the body and the mind, in the senses, it's also present in the sense objects. Everything in this world is three modes of material nature. Everything. There is three modes of material nature in this. In this, in the books, in the people, not only in the people, in everything, ത്രൈഗുണ്യാൽ ഭിന്നഭേദം ഭവതി ഹി ഭുവനേഹീനം അധ്യോത്തമം. ദാറ്റ് ത്രൈഗുണ്യാൽ ഭിന്നഭേദം, ദാറ്റ് എവ്രി നാമരൂപം വാട്ട് യു സീ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഹാസ് ഗോഡ് ത്രിഗുണം ഇൻ ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഗുണം ഗുണാഗുണേഷു വർത്തന്തേ മീൻസ് ദ ഗുണം ഇൻ അസ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഇൻ അവർ ബോഡി മൈൻഡ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ് സെൻസസ് എവ്രിവെയർ. ദാറ്റ് ഗുണം reacts with the gunam of the sense objects outside. Sense objects means whatever my gratification for senses, whether it is food, whether it is something else, whatever in relationship with any kind of sense gratification, wherever there is any sense objects is involved, all those sense objects also are under the modes of nature. Three modes of material nature exist in the sense objects. They exist in me. So the gunam in me works with the gunam outside. Guna guneshu vartande iti matvana sajjade. Krishna is saying there that one who knows this, gunam is working with the gunam outside, he doesn't get bound. Iti matvana sajjade. Tattva vittu mahabaho, that is the tattva. Krishna is talking about. And the same thing, in another way Krishna is saying here, nanyam gunebhya vartavaram yada drashtanu pasyati. ഗുണേഭ്യശ്ച പരം വേത്തി മൽഭാവം സ്വതികച്ചതി. ജസ്റ്റ് സീ ഭഗവത്ഗീത. ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഈസ് ഓൾ ടുഗദർ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് യു കനോട്ട് നെവർ ടേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് അവേ. ദിസ് വൺ തിങ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണസ് വേ ഓഫ് സെയിങ്. ഫസ്റ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ സ്പീക്ക് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്, ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ എക്സ്പാൻഡ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ്, ദെൻ ഹി വിൽ സമ്മറൈസ് ഇറ്റ്. When you come to 18th, 17th, 18th chapter, you will see that summary coming together everything. First he will speak the truth, then he will expand on that. So the second chapter is that truth he spoke straight away. You can see there, Sankhyam, Yogam, Karmam, everything Krishna spoke in the second chapter. Sankhyam is Jnanam. Jnanam, Bhakti, Karmam, everything is there in the second chapter. That's why the title is called Contents of the Bhagavad Gita Summarized, isn't it? So, a summary, first Krishna presents. Then, rest of the chapters are all expansions. All expanding that, what he spoke in that chapter. And finally, he concludes it in the 18th chapter, conclusion. Again, another summarizing the whole thing. First talks the principal tattvam, expansion of the tattvam, and summary of the tattvam. That is the flow of Bhagavad Gita. All great personalities do that. Vedavyas does the same thing in the Bhagavatam. That you have to read and read and read, and then you will get to know that. It is like that. That's the way it is presented. That is the system they follow. First they will speak the tattvam, very straight, the truth. Then you will read it and you won't understand anything. Because we don't understand anything, they will expand on that. So therefore, from third chapter onwards is the expansion of that second chapter. Third, fourth, fifth, on and on and on. And finally, when it comes to the last chapter, in the 18th chapter, Krishna will summarize the whole thing, what he has spoken up to that, and completely puts it to us in the 18th chapter. A summary of everything, what he has spoken. So in the same way, Krishna is saying here, gunam is working with gunam. Gunam is working with gunam. So, for example, if it is a snake, it will have its poison. It will have its poison. So, each one of us, we have bound according to our swabhava, isn't it? Our swabhava. And that swabhava you will see in that person. That swabhava is his gunam in him. And according to that gunam, he will that karmam also in him. And because he is doing that karmam, he is not going to get destroyed. He is not going to go bad or anything. That you have to know that, because that is what is the important teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Work according to your gunam. Don't do things which you don't have it inside. It is precisely the reason why Krishna told Arjuna to fight the war. Because that gunam is in Arjuna. Which one? That rajogunam of a kshatriya is in Arjuna. Arjuna has sattugunam. Arjuna has tamogunam. Arjuna has sattugunam and rajogunam in him. A predominating gunam in Arjuna is rajogunam. and quite a good degree of satvagunam also. That is in Arjuna. So Krishna says to him, because this is your gunam, you should act according to that gunam. Not change your thinking what gunam you don't have. And this is why Varnashrama Dharmam becomes important. Because Varnashrama Dharmam is based on gunam, isn't it? Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam Mayasrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Based on the gunam. If based on gunam, if you work in the world, you will have satisfaction. When you don't have a particular gunam meant for that particular karma, then there is always conflict inside. And that's why sometimes it becomes very, very difficult, isn't it? So, if you operate in this world according to your gunam, it will not cause any problems. Because if it was like that, Krishna would not have asked Arjuna to fight. You can see Krishna's justification to Arjuna was that you should fight because you are a Kshatriya. Why? That gunam is inside you. So Arjuna, his nature was, initially what did Arjuna want to do? Arjuna wanted to become a sannyasi, isn't it? He threw away his bow and arrow. What kind of sannyasi Arjuna, remember? When he went to steal Subhadra, you could see, then he was a sannyasi, wasn't he? A proper sannyasi. Arjuna took the dress of a sannyasi. And Krishna laughed, isn't it? And Arjuna cheated who? Balaram also. Balaram was cheated. So Krishna says to Arjuna, yes, I met so... Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Balaram that these days you can't trust these sannyasis, he says. None of the sannyasis, what they are up to. And Krishna knew who this sannyasi is sitting there. And Arjuna is also seriously sitting there, hearing about all these things. And Balaram is saying to Krishna, you can't talk like that about sannyasis. Krishna is saying to, Balaram is saying to Krishna. Krishna says, my dear elder brother, if you want to take responsibility, I will do it, whatever you tell me. Because Balaram is saying to Krishna, the sannyasi has come to our house, we have to honor him nicely, good prasadam, somebody should take care of him very well. Who else is better than Subhadra? Subhadra is the right person for that. And from Balram's side, proposal comes to look after this sannyasi. And this sannyasi you have seen, Arjuna sannyasi. Arjuna sannyasam is like that. So, and this is the type of sannyasam he wanted to have in the beginning of Kurukshetra war. And that is why Krishna said to him, because Krishna knows what is the swabhav, what gunam inside. He says to him, if you take sannyasam, it will be a disaster to this world. You remain as a Kshatriya, it will be the best. And he encouraged that, and he wanted Arjuna to do that and get rid of that vasana inside, from inside. That was his message. So, svabhava vihidam karmam, Krishna mentions that. Svabhava vihidam karmam purvan napnodi kelbisham. If you look at Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse. Svabhava vihidam karmam kurvan napnodi kelbisham. There is a verse which is number is svabhava vihidam karmam. Yeah. Svabhava vihidam karmam kurvan napnodi kelbisham. Svabhava vihidam karmam. 1847. Svabhava niyadam karma. Svabhavam will determine the karma. When we come to 18th chapter, we will go through that. Svabhava niyadam karma, Krishna says. 1847. See that verse? It's an interesting verse. Because we will get an insight into Bhagavad Gita. What does Krishna want us to do? We misunderstand many things. Krishna's point is that sahajam karma kaunteya. Sadosh, Shreyas Swadharmo Vigunal, Paradharma Sanushtidal, Svabhava Niyadam Karmam, Karma Kurvan Naknodi Kilbisham. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Prescribed duties according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Now, this verse is interesting because why Krishna says like that? You see, we talked about this before also, why it is important we should act according to the svabhava. If you act according to the Svabhavam, what it will do, it will get rid of that vasana from inside. Vasana will get exhausted. But if you do other karma where you have no, where the Svabhavam is not agreeable with that, what it will do, you may have done that karma, but it will create fresh vasanas inside. See, Arjuna's vasanas were Kshatriya vasana, isn't it? And Kshatriya vasana is like this, that he had to fight. That fighting vasana was there. But fighting, due to that, that fighting spirit gets reduced inside. And Kshatriya nature gets diminished. The Rajogunam gets exhausted through that. And he has to fight. Instead, had he remained as a sannyasi, what would have happened was that sannyasam he will artificially try to show to the world, but there will be always conflict inside. And he will have to live with that conflict in the whole life. He is not a sannyasi. His svabhavam is different. Krishna is saying, live according to the svabhavam, according to the gunam. Don't live according to the mind or dictate from inside. Live according to the svabhavam. That is more important. Why? If you live like that, that svabhavam will wipe out that vasana from inside. Vasana from inside. That is anyway in relationship with the Chaturvarnam. That is where Krishna has spoken that a lot more than that. So here, coming back to this, you can see that the... So, each one of us are born according to our own svabhavam and vasana inside. So, by executing according to the svabhavam, Krishna says, svabhavam vihidam nihidam karmam kurvan natmodi kilbisham. By acting according to your svabhavam, you are not committing any sinful activity. That is the point Krishna is making. Kurvan natmodi kilbisham, he says. And inside, there is no point in keeping that fighting spirit inside, Kshatriya nature inside, and talking about Shanti, peace outside. Shanti, peace outside. Because inside me there is a disturbance. Disturbance because of my svabhava. There is a conflict there, isn't it? So, and that body, without fighting, you cannot stop that body from fighting. You cannot stop that body from fighting. So, let that happen. That was Krishna's point. Let that happen. Just like somebody mentioned to a cat to become a vegetarian. He told a cat to become a vegetarian. So the cat was living with a sannyasi. So the cat told the sannyasi, you are such a nice person. You are giving me milk every day. You are so good and all that. And I also want to be like you. The cat says to sannyasi. Sannyasi said, okay, I will initiate you, give you a sannyasi mantra and make you a sannyasi. And so, and give you mala, you start chanting this mantra every day, and you can live here with me, both of us sannyasis. You are a cat sannyasi and I am a male sannyasi, human sannyasi, both living together. So when they are living together, because cat says to sannyasi, you are always very peaceful. I am not peaceful inside. Always I am a Vaisar Loki going this way, that way. He says to me, so only problem I have is, when I see this mice or rat passing through, I cannot resist. He says, this cat sannyasi. It is from that word, that cat, that this cat sannyasi name came. Sannyasis were like cats. So he gave him, our real sannyasi told him, I'll give you a mantra. And what was the mantra? He said, Naham moshika bhakshayami, I will not eat any rats. I don't eat any rats. You keep chanting this, he said. Naham moshika bhakshayami, he said. And he gave this mantra to him. And he had this mala and the cat was chanting and he was chanting this mantra. Once, when he was doing his japa, suddenly the actual sannyasi heard a sound. And when he looked at that time, something has gone into this cat's mouth. And the noise has come. Mantra has chopped. Instead, cat was chewing something very strongly. So the cat sannyasi was called and asked him, what have you been doing? He said, I am chanting. But when I was chanting, suddenly opened my eyes, something passed through my friend of me. I immediately caught all and put it in my mouth, he said. It was a rat. or just put it inside. So that is what Prakriti does. Prakriti is like that, isn't it? So that is Prakriti. You can't do anything. When the cat sees the rat, it has to eat. It's its food, it is, isn't it? So na Prakriti he anyadhavo kadanjal na bhavishyati. That let Prakriti be as it is. You can't do anything about the Prakriti. Prakriti will act according to its Prakriti. That is its dharma, isn't it? I do not belong to Prakriti. I am a witness. And I am a witness. And once you go further from that, you come to the state, you are not even a witness. I am purely a spirit soul. That is a higher realization from that. And this Prakriti is nothing but a thought that is happening in me. Nothing else than that. I have nothing to do with that. So, this way that continues. We will discuss it. Continue with this chapter next Saturday. And I think it is fantastic. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.